Welcome to the 2010 Jacksonville Jaguars NFL Draft. Join Jaguars play-by-play man Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman, and Jaguars game day host Cole Pepper as they go through the first round of the 2010 NFL Draft. We'll hear from Coach Jack Del Rio.
He's got the feet, he's got the size, he's got the strength. There's no reason why that won't improve in a hurry.
General Manager Gene Smith.
We're going to evaluate them based on how they play the game, how productive they are.
And the newest member of the team, the first pick of the 2010 NFL Draft by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside Jaguars Central at Jacksonville Stadium. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Lagerman. Joe Fortunato is sitting back there with a big grin on his face.
Vic rather Ketchman, giddy.
Yeah, rather giddy. Those are his words, not ours. Vic Ketchman be along, and it's feeling like deja vu all over again with Cole Pepper back here. How are you, Cole?
Good to be back.
Nice to have you.
Back in the old saddle again.
Johnny Dineen is hanging out this evening, so it feels like a Sunday afternoon. And, folks, we are buckled in here for the next couple of hours as the Jaguars get set to draft their first pick of 2010. At this point, they are set for the number 10 slot, but word around the building is the Jaguars are working every scenario hard in an effort to move back. But you know what? At this point of the draft, Logs, Cole, Joe, John, everybody is fair game, and nothing is for certain.
No, you never know. You know, and we thought last night during Jaguars this week that Ben Roethlisberger could greatly alter the draft. It hasn't happened yet, but it still doesn't mean that that won't happen. We know for a fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers called people.
Right.
It's been reported that,
you know. They called here.
Yeah, it's been reported that, you know, now all of a sudden the Pittsburgh Steelers saying, we didn't call anybody. People called us, and we know that that's not true. So something could change the landscape of the draft still with that change of teams for Ben.
You know, speaking of Ben Roethlisberger, I talked to Mike Pursuta, our NFL analyst, on our game day broadcast, and he's of course headquartered in Pittsburgh, and he was working some of his sources with the Steelers. He said the kind of things that they were looking for were just outrageous. You know, for instance, talking with Oakland, they wanted Oakland's first round pick plus Nnamdi Asomugha, might be the second best cornerback in football. All right, now that's just a ridiculous amount to expect for a guy who's going to miss possibly the first six games of a season, and you don't know if he can keep his nose clean in the offseason off the field. So unless they get some humongous offer for Ben Roethlisberger, it doesn't appear that he's going to be moved right now. And so, boy, you start looking at the teams that need quarterbacks and who that might be and how that could impact the Jaguars, that could be a pretty substantial storyline for what happens in this draft.
Senior editor, Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman joins us now. And last night, we were talking about where Roethlisberger might land and how it might impact the draft. At this point, what do you hear out of Ed Bouchette and the crowd up in Pittsburgh?
Ed doesn't think they'll trade him. And, you know, I don't think they will either because I don't think they're nuts. Why would you trade a two-time Super Bowl quarterback who's 28 years of age and is coming off that game left? You saw the game last year against Green Bay. You know, that's a game manager. That's a caretaker quarterback, 501 yards.
When was he ever called a caretaker quarterback?
Oh, that, well, in the beginning, the first, that was
yeah,
the rap.
Yeah, his rookie season.
Well, his rookie year, that's what he was.
Yeah, but they were still calling him that after he won his first Super Bowl.
Well, I think after he won his first Super Bowl, that you could have made that argument. But I think the year that we saw him here come back and take the Steelers to victory here right in front of us.
That was 04. That was his first year.
Well, that was his first year?
Yeah.
Well, he did it.
Wow.
He did it here, he here in 08,
after what you saw in the Super Bowl when he drove down.
Ago, right? Yeah, 2 years ago.
08, yeah.
Because 2 years ago, he was lights
when
out.
He made when he made the throw to Hines Ward.
Oh, yeah.
That was the game that I'm thinking of. And then, obviously, what he was able to do in the Super Bowl was just tremendous. Right. The second Super Bowl.
Throw to Santonio Holmes was perfection.
The bottom line is you got a guy here whose back is to the wall. He's going to change now because if he doesn't change, he's not going to play football.
Well,
he's going to lose a lot of money.
Then they would be foolish to trade him.
Yeah, Yeah,
but the Rooneys are different.
No, they always have.
They traded Santonio Holmes for a biscuit. I mean, you know, teams don't do that.
No,
but they do.
Jeff's right. He's right. They, from what I understand, they had a deal with him after the incident with the motorcycle. The deal was he's going to be less reckless. He's going to be more professional. And then came the thing with the woman in Tahoe, and the new deal was one more and you're out. Well, this is one more. So that's what is kind of spurring this speculation that he could be traded. And from what I understand, they're lined up pretty good now. I mean, San Francisco's got ammunition. They got two first-round picks. They could trade for this guy. What would he do for this 49ers? Put him in the Super Bowl.
Make him a contender.
Make him a contender.
Yeah.
What would he do for the Minnesota Vikings?
Oh, more than a contender with their defense and running game.
Instead of having a quarterback who throws the interception at crunch time, they'd have a quarterback who takes you down the field and scores at crunch time. But they don't have the ammunition. They're sitting at 30th. What would he do for the Raiders? Not much, because nothing could help them. But
Darius,
but they don't know that.
What could he do for the Eagles? I know that they got this great Kevin Cobb. No relation to the great Ty Cobb.
No, no.
They spell it differently. But that's a joke.
K-O-L-B.
But, I mean, you know, why wouldn't the Eagles want him? I mean, why wouldn't any team want him?
Broncos.
Yeah, what would he do for
Bills?
I mean, if
start going down the list, he's going to need quarterback.
You could say about 28 teams would love to have
everybody
a quarterback.
But
it's not happening.
Yeah,
and if it doesn't happen, then we go back to our original thoughts. But I mean, the what was happening yesterday and the day before certainly could have changed tonight's landscape.
If the Bears could give back Jay Cutler and take Ben Roethlisberger, would they do it?
Certainly.
In a minute.
Of course, and they gave up a king's ransom for Cutler.
Just ask yourself, if the Jaguars could go back to 2004 and draft him, would they?
Yeah, I know they would, because Gene Smith
absolutely
loves him.
So who
he loved him coming out of college. He attended his workout at Miami of Ohio, and he predicted at that time that Ben Roethlisberger would be a top five pick. So, but somebody in the building didn't listen to him. what happens here, I don't know. The Steelers, they could do something, though. They could do something. They're shrewd like this. They could say, that's all. We're going into rebuilding. And pull the plug and get a king's ransom and move forward.
So even though it doesn't seem likely, there still could be something happening here this evening with the Steelers and one of the teams.
Well, Ed called me today and said, I think they're going to keep him, but they keep telling me that there's a trade possibility. What do you hear? And I told him what I heard was they were lined up.
All right, so the point about the quarterback and how it impacts the Jaguars, and you guys talked a little bit about this last night during the mock draft on Jaguars this week. Vic and I talked about this on our draft preview on Jaguars.com. If Jimmy Clausen is available at number 10, that becomes a primo trade back situation or a pick the quarterback situation, one or the other. Who are the teams right now? Let's just look at the teams ahead of the Jaguars at 10 who need a quarterback.
You know what?
Can
you hold that spot? I'm being told we need to get this pick in real quick to get this, not pick, this this break right in. And then let's come back with that thought, Cole, because it's a really good one. Where does quarterback factor into the top 10 in the draft? Cole Pepper, Jeff Lagerman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato, John Dean, Brian Sexton, our broadcast crew here inside the stadium on the other side of the wall from Gene Smith's War Room when we return on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
Welcome back to the 2010 NFL Draft on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back to our coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Lagerman, Cole Pepper, our broadcast crew on hand. And we will not only have word from the podium, but we will have live coverage here. You'll hear from the coach. You'll hear from Gene Smith. You will hear from the player. And, of course, you will hear from Wayne Weaver throughout the course of the broadcast as well.
I must say that kudos to the NFL for making this draft a primetime event and stretching it out over the course of 3 days because, you know, commercial break, we've got it on television. And we're watching them roll out the Hall of Famers and then they bring out the players that are potentially the top picks in the draft. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see Lawrence Taylor and Jerry Rice and Joe Montana.
Jim Brown.
Yeah. I mean, all of these great NFL players all participated in the NFL draft. I mean, this is my kind of must-see TV.
By the way, did you see Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban's comments about the National Football League putting the draft in
prime
time.
No, because it's the NBA and it doesn't mean anything.
I thought it was very interesting, and he's a loudmouth anyway, but he stood up and he made a comment about the NFL not being a good partner
they're
and going prime time and putting it up against the NBA playoffs. But what you just said made so much sense. More people are going to watch this than they're going to watch the NBA playoffs this evening, which Cuban's comments just exposed them.
And this isn't the NBA Finals anyway, but, you know, it's not like it's early first-round playoff stuff.
All right, back to what you were talking about, the quarterbacks and where they fall. Obviously, you know, Sam Bradford, Jimmy Clausen are the two guys we're talking about in the top 10.
Yeah, and the Jaguars at number 10, if they do indeed want to trade back, here's the question, doesn't Jimmy Clausen give them the best opportunity to get the best value out of a trade-back situation of you know, typically that's the case. The quarterback at your pick is the best chance to move.
I think he may be the best, but I don't think he's the only one.
Mm-hmm. What you're really describing here, what you're really looking for, are those key elements that could have an impact on the order of the selection of these players at the top. That's what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Yes.
What raisin in the cookie could screw up the batter? All right.
Well, there's always Al Davis.
Yeah. Well, we know that, but, I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's just a rogue shark swimming around and it has no teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Clausen is one, as Mark Sanchez was, and the other potential one is Ben Roethlisberger. These are the guys that could screw it up, just as years and years ago, a quarterback named Kelly Stopher was the surprise pick of the St. Louis Cardinals, or was that the Arizona Cardinals?
No, they were the St. Louis Cardinals. Okay. Well, wait a second. It was 1987, so it was their last year in St. Louis.
Yes, it was right at that time. They picked Stopher number four. I believe it was two or four.
Okay, I thought it was seven.
No, it wasn't that low. They picked Stopher right after the Browns picked Mike Junkin. Two surprise picks, screwed up the whole thing. Next thing you know, Rod Woodson falls, Shane Conlon falls. These great players are falling like stones, you know, to teams that had no inkling that these guys would be available.
By the way,
that can happen.
Mike Junkin was a fantastic college player.
Right. At Duke.
Along the lines of a Brian Bosworth type. The guy was simply fantastic.
And a complete bust in the NFL.
Yes, he was.
And he was a huge reach at number three overall. And Stopher, I think, was
Stopher
four.
Six.
Stopher was six. Yeah. He was another huge reach, and that caused these great players to fall. Now, if Roethlisberger was to be traded, you know, up in the top, or Clausen was to stimulate a trade up at the top, next thing you know, things could start happening for the Jaguars, like an Eric Berry could fall, or a Brian Bulaga. Don't forget that name. Even though the Jaguars took two tackles last year, Bulaga is a guy they love. Bulaga is a guy who can play guard. He can play center.
Gene Smith thinks very highly of his college coach.
Yeah, and Gene is really gaga about this guy. He calls him great value, which is a way of saying if he was there, you can't pass on him. The value is too great. So let's keep an eye on what you're saying. Clausen, Roethlisberger, how could they impact the top picks?
Remember last year now, when we did our mock, we had Eugene Monroe going number two overall. And then because of some situations that we didn't anticipate, all of a sudden there was Eugene Monroe, and we were watching him, Logs, you know, go past number four and number five and six. And then, of course, the Raiders at seven took Darius Heyward-Bey and screwed the whole thing up, but really made it work for the Jaguars. So as you look at the top players, and you mentioned Eric Berry, who's more likely or most likely to slide should something like that happen?
Mike Mayock has just made Dan Williams the pick for the Jaguars. This is something we talked about on this air over a month ago.
A long time ago.
All right. I think it's a real possibility. Here's what's sexy about that pick. If the Jaguars were to do that,
330-pound man,
John Henderson is on the trade block.
Absolutely.
There's your extra pick that you're looking for. There's the ammunition that might get you into the second round.
All right, let's take a quick break. We've got to get one more in before the draft officially begins at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to live coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft live from Jaguar Central inside Jacksonville Stadium. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV,
Depend on it. Welcome back. We are just about to start on the clock with the St. Louis Rams here, live coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft. It's become a tradition now dating back to 1995 in the very first Jaguars NFL Draft on radio to have Vic Ketchman join us and share some thoughts about where the Jaguars are, a couple players on their short list, guys they want to see fall. So, you know, before the commissioner opens things up, give us a couple of names that are sitting right there that they want.
Yeah, well, this is based on the idea that an Eric Berry will be gone, a Sam Bradford will be gone. You know, the names that pop into my head are Dan Williams, C.J. Spiller, Brian Bulaga, and Joe Hayden. Those are the four. I'd love to say Jason Pierre-Paul. I think he is a mouthwatering, a unbelievable temptation, and I think he makes them drool on the other side of the wall. But, you know, I don't think they have the guts. I don't think they have the guts.
Mouthwatering as is,
because
it's
a tremendous risk.
It's taking a home run swing.
Oh, that's a grand slam swing.
Which is what Gene Smith has said is just the opposite of his approach, which is swing for singles.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so make contact.
I think they love him, but I just don't. You know, I just don't think they have the guts, or they're foolhardy enough to take the risk.
You're questioning that Gene Smith would have guts?
Hey, he had the guts to make that trade and draft Derek Cox, which was really, really gutsy, for lack of a better word. You know what word I want to say.
Since he's taken over, has anything given you any indication that he doesn't have guts?
No, he's got the cojones.
But
he's got him.
But
he
it's
really
a whole different
does.
Thing, though.
But this is, we're talking big cojones on this one. I mean, we're talking about top 10 pick
on a guy who
played 1 year of major college football, and it was in the Big East.
But, I mean, the guy is a physical talent. You know, maybe the best athlete in the draft.
He's Lawrence Taylor-esque in terms of talent.
Seven starts to his career.
When there are people that have freakish talents like he does, sometimes you got to have guts.
But you may not realize his talent until 2012. And there are scouts who believe the gap is unbridgeable. The gap between his talent and his skill level is huge.
You know, again, we've talked a lot about with the Tebow thing throughout the course
Tebow.
Of the last months. About whether
Tebow.
Whether
and here we call him Vic Bo.
Well, that's Vic Bo sitting across from me. Whether with Tebow that they would have to put aside the philosophy of drafting the best player available.
What round are we in now?
I'm just saying this was the conversation.
You're not talking about the first round, are you?
You just stay with me for crying out loud.
Let's talk rational stuff.
No, I'm not talking about Tebow here. My point is that was a conversation that was being had all across the city about putting aside the best available player theory to take somebody for a marketing purpose. This would be, you're talking about taking Jason Pierre-Paul, that would be putting aside Gene Smith's draft philosophy. Would that be any more surprising that they would draft a guy outside of his draft philosophy than if they drafted a guy for a marketing purpose?
You always ask these questions that I don't know what you're asking. If you're asking if they'll draft Tim Tebow, Gene Smith.
I say Tebow, and Vic, starts spouting. He's got sparks come out of the top. He's got springs come out of his ears.
Vic, I think his question was that if he does draft a Jason Pierre-Paul, it would be counteractive or opposite of what Gene Smith's philosophy is, which is productivity, hitting singles, you know, proven player on the field. He's not talking about Tebow.
A Virginia education
paid attention
pays off. Good work,
I only went to Kent State.
No.
But, I mean, would that be against the grain of Gene's philosophy?
Yes. It's crystal ball stuff. The production is not there. But remember this. They're not paid to tell you what a guy did. They're paid to tell you what he's going to do.
And I will say this.
Right?
A guy that can do flips, I don't care how big he is, doesn't mean he's going to be a great football player.
Ironhead could do flips.
You can?
Ironhead.
Oh, Ironhead.
Oh.
He knocked my helmet off one time. Oh. I kind of got a sore spot there.
260-pound guy, you know, built.
At a point where offensive linemen were just slightly heavier than that.
Built like he looked like he had a.
265.
Yeah.
He was 270.
He was a pulling guard.
275 at times. Huge.
What's going on?
The commissioner's about to start the draft, so we just thought we'd.
We're going to get his audio?
Oh.
Yeah, just to kind of kick things off and a little formality to it.
Okay, good evening, football fans.
And Mark Cuban.
I take that as you're ready for a big night of primetime NFL draft. As you all know, this is our 75th NFL draft, and you all have made it very special. And we thank you all for being here. And most importantly, for bringing us to primetime, both tonight and tomorrow night. So thank you all. One of the things that makes this draft so great is it's about hopes and dreams for our players, for our teams, and for you all, the fans. And we have some great players here tonight that you've already seen. They represent the past, the present, and the future. And beyond half of all of the fans, let me just say a thank you to all of them and to all the people who play football. Thanks for making our game very special. Okay, you guys ready to get started? Let's get started. I like that. The 2010 NFL Draft is officially open. The St. Louis Rams are on the clock.
Now, is anybody in this room going to be surprised if St. Louis doesn't take Sam Bradford?
I'll be shocked.
No, I won't be shocked. Why would you be shocked?
Because that's all we've heard leading up to it. I don't think he's the number one player in the draft. But I think that everything we've heard is that that's the direction they've been leaning. That not just leaning, that's been their focus. I will be shocked if he's not the first pick. I will be.
I think all indicators are that he is going to be the first pick. And is he rated to be the first pick? I mean, if you look at his grade, most people have him rated as the third or fourth best player in the draft. So, but hey, look, it's the quarterback position. Quarterbacks are overdrafted. So is it crazy that he would be the first overall pick? Heck no.
I think
quarterback
it is.
League.
I think it's crazy. I don't think he belongs up there. And let's not forget that the St. Louis Rams aren't going anywhere fast, and next year may produce the greatest crop of quarterbacks in NFL history.
I think Bill Polian said it right as part of the interviews leading up to the draft, and he said, look, if you get a quarterback and he's the right one, mm-hmm. obviously your franchise is on its way. If you miss, it could set your franchise 3 to 4 years back. And I think along those same lines, if you don't draft a quarterback who could be the guy, you set your franchise back 3 to 4 years, or maybe a year, only two, until you can get one in the future. So I understand why a team would want to overdraft, and I use that kind of term lightly, for that position, because more so than ever, this is a quarterback league in its history. It has never been more of a quarterback league.
85 passes thrown in the Super Bowl. That says it all.
You have got to know that this is a great player, because you are going to be back in this position next year. One way or another, you're going to be back in the top five. They got a stinky team. There is no hope for any kind of significant improvement next year.
And look at you. You used the great example last night. What if they had taken Mark Sanchez last year instead of taking Jason Smith?
The question the St. Louis Rams have to ask themselves right now, and should have been asking all this time leading up to this, is: do I like Sam Bradford better than Jake Locker and Christian Ponder? My answer is no.
Detroit's a great example of what you're talking about. Last year, the number one pick, they took Matthew Stafford. They think he's going to be their guy. They're still picking number two in the draft, mm-hmm. and they have a chance to get arguably the best player in the draft at number two.
Well,
St. Louis makes this move here. Along
the same lines, you could go back to 1989 and look what the Dallas Cowboys did, and they got Troy Aikman. Mm-hmm. The next year, they were right back in the top spot of the draft, not the number one spot, but right at the top of the draft. But look where Troy Aikman is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're forgetting something. They drafted Troy Aikman first overall in the regular draft that year. Then they drafted Steve Walsh in the first round of the supplemental draft
that year.
So you want to talk about overdrafting.
But I mean, my point is, I mean, yes, you may be back at the top of the draft next year, but Troy Aikman also won a lot of Super Bowls.
No question. They were sure that he was a great player.
No. They weren't sure, or else they would not have drafted Steve Walsh.
Well, the card is being walked up right now as we look at the NFL Network's coverage. And Sam Bradford has a mobile phone to his ear. They were clapping in the St. Louis Rams war room. So it appears this is a foregone conclusion. My big concern about a guy like this is he's coming from a spread offense, which is,
I guess what every college quarterback it
pop
seems
gun
coming
offense.
From. Well, and he's coming with a shoulder, not his throwing shoulder, that had to be surgically repaired. It bounced out twice last year. You wonder how durable he is, and you're going to give him in excess of $40 million guaranteed dollars. Boy, you better be sure that he is the right guy.
He's never won a bowl game.
Not any bowl game, not the Pop Gun Bowl.
He's never won any bowl game.
How many did Ben win?
Well, I don't know.
How many did Troy Aikman win?
Here's the commissioner.
I'd have to look it up. I don't know the answer.
With the first pick of the draft, Roger Goodell for the St. Louis Rams, who used just a few minutes of their clock.
With the first pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the St. Louis Rams select Sam Bradford, quarterback, Oklahoma.
It's not a very well-disguised secret in any way, shape, or form. Yesterday, had the opportunity to spend a little time with Gene Smith. He has been gracious over the years to offer his analysis of the picks. And we'll start with GM Gene on Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford, quarterback, Oklahoma.
Very talented. I mean, he can make all the throws. He's got the size. He's had tremendous production for 2 years, and he had a very short season this past year. So, you know, he's a guy that I do feel should have a good career if he's able to stay healthy in the NFL.
All right, so the number one overall pick in the 2010 NFL draft is Sam Bradford from the University of Oklahoma, and that means the Detroit Lions are up next. And everyone has been pointing to Ndamukong Suh here, but, of course, Gerald McCoy is a very tempting prospect as well.
Just a quick note, you know, Gene obviously knows that the window for commentary on a player is very small. And he addressed, obviously, the big concern there with Sam Bradford. He said, if he can stay healthy in the NFL. I think that's the only question that most people had about Sam Bradford. The guy is a supreme talent. I mean, there was talk that he would have been a top five pick last year if he had come out as what? A sophomore? He's a junior now, isn't he?
He was a third-year sophomore last year. Yeah.
So, I mean, the guy's clearly talented.
All right, folks, the Detroit Lions are on the clock. As we go to break, we'll remind you the second annual Jacksonville Backyard Barbecue Championships are coming up May 15th at the Firefighter Tower, I-10 in Stockton. Tickets go on sale Saturday. Visit JacksBBQChampionships.com or WOKV.com for all the details. The Jacksonville Backyard Barbecue Championships are a fundraiser for the Glenn Cook Memorial Scholarship for Daniel Kids. Back after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
Welcome back to the 2010 NFL Draft on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back to our live coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft. Brian Sexton, Cole Pepper, Jeff Loggeman, Dick Ketchman, Joe Fortunato, John Denis, bringing you the entirety. I shouldn't say the entirety. We're going up till 10 o'clock, at which point we expect the Jaguars to have picked. But in that, you will hear from the coach, from the position coach as well, from the player, and from GM Gene. Sam Bradford, as many people expected, the first pick overall by the St. Louis Rams, the quarterback from Oakland. The Detroit Lions are on the clock with just a few minutes left. And this would just, it would seem to be the easiest pick of the night.
This is so easy, it's hard.
Here he goes.
I mean, you're surprising no one.
And Ndamukong Suh is the one that we think will go here, the big defensive tackle from Nebraska.
With the second pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Ndamukong Suh, defensive tackle, Nebraska.
And Suh is a mountain of a man who, if you saw him against Texas, remember, Texas, offensive lineman, enormous, powerful offensive lineman, he trashed the interior of their offensive line in the Big 12 championship game. Here's GM Gene on Ndamukong Suh.
Ndamukong Suh, defensive tackle, Nebraska.
Dominant, as good as any player in the draft. He certainly has done it the last couple years.
Yeah, that was like the shortest analysis of any player by Gene Smith. And this is a guy who has all the credentials.
What do you say? I missed that.
Dominant.
It's the only word you need to use.
You remember when the Jaguars drafted John Henderson, Vic, you might remember the analogy I used of Henderson as a college player, which was like the Hulk going through a crowded mall, just throwing people left and right. This is like Godzilla going through a crowded mall. I think Ndamukong Suh is the best defensive football player I've seen in college in so long that I can't even remember.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit? Reggie White.
Absolutely.
Reggie White was maybe the one of the greatest freaks to ever play in the Absolutely. National Football League as far as strength goes. And I think Sue has strength that's similar to that, but he's obviously playing a different position.
Let's put it this way. When you talk about this guy, you search to use names such as Bob Lilly, Joe Green, Reggie White. Well, that's
Randy
all good.
White.
Randy White. I mean, that's good company. Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's but that's the company this guy is in.
Well, I remember when he was here for the Gator Bowl, two Gator Bowls ago against Clemson, and he just owned the field.
Oh, man, was he good.
Yeah, no player I have seen on a college football field in a long time, just taking big offensive linemen and driving them into the ground.
This should tell you all you need to know. Playing in a pass-happy conference, the Big 12, with quarterbacks who throw it all over the place, Sue was the leading tackler for the Nebraska defense at defensive tackle. How good is that? The stats don't always tell the story, but that stat tells the story.
If the Jaguars had a chance to pick Ndamukong Suh, would the fans still want him to pick Tebow?
I don't. If they would, they Some haven't would. Seen Sue play.
That's a great question.
I mean, this is the guy who breaks the mold. He's the trump card.
That's like if a tree falls in the woods and no one is around to hear it, did it really make a noise? Sue is a dominant player. Will immediately, wouldn't you think, Logs? Immediately. Not just upgrade the Detroit Lions because
are good now.
That guy is.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. I mean, even the
Detroit.
Great...
No, Detroit's economy is now perfect. It's been solved.
Matt Stafford is about ready to go. They say he made big gains at the end of last season.
Yeah, he got better. But, you know, even a high pick. I mean, Bruce Smith.
There's another.
Did
one.
Bruce Smith come out and dominate early? It took Bruce a little bit of time.
Yeah, but he was an end, and you got the rush moves. This guy just beats people up.
Yeah, but still. Trying to beat people up in the NFL is a whole lot different than beating them up in the NFL.
I agree with
college,
you.
College, you mean.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But, Jeff, I mean, don't you think this guy is an exceptional player? And by that meaning, he is an exception to the rule of almost every other guy we've seen drafted.
He's a phenomenal player, but there's still a learning curve. There's still a learning curve.
I would agree.
For even the greatest players coming into the NFL.
By the way, just to prove your theory that there are football players everywhere, do you know in Ndamukong Suh's hometown, and it is not Texas or Florida or
Rhode
Michigan?
Island?
Oregon, right?
Portland, Oregon. There are great, talented football players in every state of the Union.
Troy Polamalu is from Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you just don't think about Oregon as being a football factory.
I wouldn't go there to recruit.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Well, you might now. They find Ndamukong Suh. You might now. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the clock. And, again, this would seem to be equally simple because the guy that they have had their sights on, or at least the guy who fits right here, is another very good defensive tackle in Gerald McCoy. How are these two players different?
McCoy's got more wiggle to him. He's got more...
pass rush?
Yeah, more beat you off the ball and hit the gap, you know, penetrate.
He's a Warren Sapp type.
Yeah.
But bigger.
Yeah, where Sue is just bull rush, kick your butt, I'll take on double teams, triple teams, and you can't stop me. This guy will give you a little head fake and then beat you in the other direction. He's got more pass rush potential. There is a guy in college football this year who I think potentially could be better than both of these guys.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And where does he play, and how come we haven't heard of him?
Craig Hayward's son at Ohio State. Yeah. What is Hayward's first name?
Brandon, right?
No.
Little Ironhead?
That's what I call him, Ironhead's kid.
Yeah.
Oh, my, is he good. And he'll be in next year's draft. Next year's draft is going to be a blockbuster again.
Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year grabbed a young quarterback in Josh Freeman, who I think got better as the season went on. I don't know where his progress was.
There's a lot of questions about
Josh Freeman,
his learning curve.
Okay. Well, it'd be
They're committed to him.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a big kid, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's 6 foot.
I think he's the biggest quarterback that I've ever seen in the National Football League.
There have been tall guys, but not guys built
like him. Nobody like him.
Yeah.
Except for Jamarcus Russell, but he's...
Yeah, but this guy's Jamarcus is is rounded off.
And it was understood, though, when they drafted him, that it was going to take a long time, that he was really raw. So, I mean, you can't expect anything from him in year
but I
two
saw
either.
Him, I saw him late in the year make some throws mm-hmm. standing with guys at his feet that made you say he isn't scared of anything.
Big
so,
arm.
If he does develop into a good quarterback, now you've got a good defensive lineman. You've got two franchises in Detroit and Tampa Bay that have some hope for where they're headed.
How do you build great football teams? All right. If the Lions are going to be a great team, Stafford and Ndamukong Suh. If the Bucs are going to be a great team, it would be Freeman and Gerald McCoy. I can remember Bradshaw and Joe Green. I can remember Troy Aikman and Russell Maryland. I mean, it's how you build football teams.
Of a stretch there.
Russell Maryland was a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
He was a first high pick and a very good.
He was the first pick of the draft.
He was first pick of the draft, Vic, but he was not that good.
Well, that's how they built their team.
I know.
And
you need the big guys in the quarterback.
I don't want you to put him into the Joe Green and
No. I'm with you. I'm with you. How about Richard Seymour and Tom Brady? I mean, it's what the great teams have in common.
Jaguars don't come up at this point until the 10th overall pick. We've got two players already gone, Sam Bradford and Ndamukong Suh, the Buccaneers. Clock is winding down. We expect that to be Gerald McCoy. And you start wondering right about now.
Where's the wrench going to come?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and to me, I think it may come at number four. With Washington.
You've got two owners and ahead of the Jaguars who have a reputation for being Mavericks, right? We talked about Al Davis at 8 with the Raiders, and now at 4, Daniel Snyder and the Redskins. Now, their structure has changed, of course, with Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, but Shanahan doesn't have a great history of drafting. You know, it's not like he's been a number one on the money. You know, so we'll see what happens.
All right, here's the commissioner with pick number 3 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the 2010 NFL Draft.
With the 3rd pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Gerald McCoy, defensive tackle, Oklahoma.
Okay, now the draft starts. All right, we got these three out of the way. We all knew who they were going to be. Now are we talking about, you know, Okung or Trent Williams? Or Bilog? I mean,
and does it start a run on offensive tackles?
Now we're going to possibly get that off-the-wall pick that could start changing, that could start shaping the top 10. What we've had so far shapes nothing.
All right, and with that thought, we need to grab a break, and we will do that. We'll return with more live coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft live from inside Jacksonville Stadium after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
Gerald McCoy, defensive tackle, Oklahoma.
Another player that's dominant that will come in immediately, make an impact, and certainly have good play history.
All right, that's GM Gene Smith of the Jaguars on Gerald McCoy, the 3rd overall pick in the draft by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Redskins are on the clock, and in years past, it has certainly meant a lot of uncertainty. Right now, you know, we're trying to guess based off of the television and who's on the phone. Redskins with less than 4 minutes left in this pick. It would make sense, since they traded for a veteran quarterback in Donovan McNabb, that they would grab the offensive lineman they need to replace Chris Samuels. But this could be Jimmy Clausen, too.
Well, we're watching the television, and Okung is on the phone, and so obviously he's smiling. So it would give you an indication he's going to be the Redskins' pick. But, I mean, they need to have a left tackle. Chris Samuels had the narrowing of the spinal column, had neck burner problems, was basically forced to retire. He was a Pro Bowl player. You got to get another top-end player to protect Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb is not the scatty quarterback
right.
that he once was.
When this season goes.
He's aging a little bit now, so he's kind of getting in that twilight. I don't want to say twilight, but in the second half.
He's in it.
Yeah, he's getting there.
Yeah.
But he's not quite there. Kind of similar to what Dan Marino, you know, towards the end there.
He's 34 years old. If that's not the twilight, I mean.
Well, I mean, in today's day and age, I mean, Brett Favre is making the twilight years become, you know, 40 now, mm-hmm. you know.
And so the card has been handed in. We're awaiting the commissioner. And then Kansas City will probably start with the draft, because I think a lot of folks thought that this was going to be the pick for the Redskins. Kansas City, does this start a run of offensive tackles now?
Yeah,
are we going to see Bilog and Williams off the board quick, and maybe even Anthony Davis
from
Rutgers?
I think that's exactly what it does. I had predicted in my value board that there's going to be a run on big guys early. It's not going to just be offensive tackles, and it's going to be defensive linemen. You'll see Dan Williams go. You might see Jason Pierre-Paul go. You might see Derek Morgan go. There's going to be a run on linemen starting now.
All right. Well, here comes the commissioner approaching the podium. Bradford, Sue McCoy, bang, bang, bang. What does Washington do?
With the fourth pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Washington Redskins select Trent Silverback Williams. Oklahoma.
Okay, now all you had here was a switch of tackles.
Right.
We weren't sure whether it was going to be Okung or Trent Williams. Peter King, I think, had said Trent Williams. We decided, did we go with Okung in our mock?
In our mock,
we
did.
We went with Okung. Now you're likely going to see Trent Williams. Kansas City is going to be looking at Bulaga or Trent Williams, and I would think Bulaga or Okung, and I would think they would go with Okung, the left tackle, where Bulaga, and no one's quite sure, you know, what he is.
Pretty good day so far for the University
of Oklahoma.
Hey, if
I'm Bob Stoops, I'm sending out letters right now.
Three of the top four picks.
What kind of letters? Forgive me?
Right, for not
winning.
Please,
I apologize. The guy wins nothing.
I'm talking to prospective signees.
Got three of the top four.
Three of the top four from Oklahoma.
And the first four
are
all
from University of Oklahoma. That's unbelievable.
The Big 12.
Has that ever happened?
Three of the top four and you lose to Boise State and West Virginia?
I know that, but has that ever happened?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Oh, I guarantee you. The Miami year is guaranteed.
Let's grab a quick break for news at the top of the hour. We'll return with more live coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
Trent Williams, offensive tackle, Oklahoma.
Outstanding talent. A guy that could probably play any position on the offensive line. He ran in the mid 4.8s and 320-plus pounds, and you don't see that every day.
Welcome back to our live coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, Cole Pepper, John Dineen, and Joe Fortunato here with you from Jaguars Central. The Chiefs are on the clock.
Yeah, and I think we got our first wrench coming right now.
All right. Why do you say that?
Well, we expected a run on the big guys, and I don't think it's going to happen here, guys.
Well, the Chiefs are on the clock.
What do you got?
Eric Berry, maybe?
That's the problem.
That's who's on the phone right now.
Yeah, it is Eric Berry. And Berry is a tremendous talent. I mean, top talent. But that means that Russell Okung and Brian Bulaga are going to slide past number five at Kansas City, which obviously leaves players
This is big.
Of renown.
Jeff's right. This is big. This could send Bulaga. This could send him to the Jaguars.
Kind of like Eugene Monroe last year.
You know, I got a feeling that Seattle really needs a back. Why wouldn't they take a C.J. Spiller?
Also because of his capabilities. Remember, Pete Carroll had Reggie.
Yeah. I mean, Seattle, who's their starting running back last year?
That's a great question.
I mean, there you go. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember. We did a game out there.
Yeah. I was trying to think of that the other day, you know, because we're throwing the big guys at Seattle and Kansas City, and I'm sitting there going, C.J. Spiller is ranked on most boards. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not talking, you know, teams boards, but boards that are people put together as a top five pick, top five rating.
Well, the Kansas City Chiefs have handed in the card. Here's the commissioner with pick number five.
With the fifth pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Eric Berry, safety, Tennessee.
All right, Eric Berry, top talent, no doubt a top five talent. We just didn't think that that the Chiefs would grab him as opposed to some of the help they need up front.
Okay, the Seahawks obviously don't have Walter Jones anymore. They have need for a left tackle.
And they've got two very good ones sitting there.
But Brian Bulaga is not what you call a dyed-in-the-wool left tackle. I
mean, but Okung is.
Yes, Okung is. But this is where Bulaga goes into free fall. I mean, if you look at Cleveland, they've got
Joe Thomas.
And don't need a left tackle.
But remember now, most people think that Bulaga is a better right tackle than he is.
Well, that's what
left.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
He could fall to the Jaguars.
But Joe plays on the left side up there, so maybe they want a right tackle.
Remember those words from Gene Smith. Great
value.
Great value. That's what he called Brian Bulaga to me.
Well, I want to compliment Scott Pioli because last year he totally blew it in the first round. At least the early indicators are that the guy that he Tyson got out of LSU, Tyson Jackson, is an absolute bust. And Eric Berry, from what little I have watched, the guy is a fantastic player.
Fabulous player.
Monty Kiffin was his defensive coordinator last year on that volunteer staff up in Knoxville, and he is, by all accounts, an NFL-ready safety. Here's Gene Smith on former Tennessee Volunteer, now current Kansas City Chief, Eric Berry.
Eric Berry, safety, Tennessee.
He's done it since the day he stepped on campus, University of Tennessee. He's a ball hawk. He's played everywhere in the secondary and outstanding leader.
And so now the Seattle Seahawks are on the clock. And, again, you mentioned Walter Jones. You mentioned their lack of a featured running back. Pete Carroll, obviously, had Reggie Bush. Is this where C.J. Spiller comes off the board? This is about where he starts to fit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. He's ready to go at this point.
Who's Seattle's quarterback?
Matt Hasselbeck for now. And they got Charlie Whitehurst.
Whitehurst.
It's a rhetorical question.
Charlie Whitehurst is certainly the answer for the next 15 years, isn't he?
Yeah. that
was strange.
Jimmy Carr, I know. I agree. That was weird.
Also remember, this is Pete Carroll's first draft as a head coach back in the NFL with Seattle. You wonder what kind of impact he's going to have, what kind of stamp he's going to be putting on this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's his first draft because he's the man.
Right.
You know, he's running the show. You know, he's had two tours of duty, I guess you could say, as a head coach. His first tour was in New York, and he didn't really have any input whatsoever. Dick Steinberg was running the show. And then when he was in New England, he wasn't –
Bobby Greer was running it.
Yeah, Bobby was running it. So this is his show.
Mm-hmm.
Here are their running backs.
We'll see.
Here are their running backs. Right now, this is their depth chart. Julius Jones, the former Dallas Cowboy, Justin Forsett, and Lewis Rankin. So, but here's the thing. They have two picks now in the first 13 because they pick, 14. They pick 6 and 14. So there are other running backs besides C.J. Spiller if they liked Ryan Matthews.
But C.J. Spiller fits here more. They could get the tackle from Rutgers with their second pick in the first round. If they're going to get a premium back, and I think CJ is the primo premium back. You better get him now.
And we'll find out exactly what they're thinking. Eric Berry off the table. And now you still have two big offensive linemen, Russell Okung and Brian Bulaga, Dan Williams. You've got three big guys, and if this team wants big guys, they've got Seattle, Cleveland, Oakland, and Buffalo to navigate to get one of those three guys.
We'll see if it gets to them, but again, it would take, you know, Vic, we were asking about, would Gene have the cojones to make this pick or that pick? Would he have the cojones to pick an offensive tackle once again?
No question.
If Bulaga or Okung, it won't be Okung, but if Bulaga was available for Buffalo at 9, I got to believe he'd go off the board. I mean, Buffalo's offensive line is wretched, which might then drop Dan Williams to the Jaguars. Because there are a lot of reports that the Bills really like Dan Williams. But we're now getting into that territory of the top 10 picks. It's going to start shaping the Jaguars pick.
All right, let's take a quick break as the Seahawks are on the clock and return with their pick, number 6 overall in the first round, on our live coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft from Jaguars Central inside Jacksonville Stadium, only on WOKV. The Seahawks have made their selection, and here comes Commissioner Goodell with Seattle at number 6 in the first round.
With the 6th pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Russell Okung, offensive tackle, Oklahoma State.
All right, so now maybe we see the big guys come off the chart as Seattle replaces Walter Jones, the longtime Florida State Seminole and multiple Pro Bowl left tackle for the Seattle Seahawks. And GM Gene Smith had these thoughts on Okung.
Russell Okung, offensive tackle, Oklahoma State.
Very talented tackle that could play either side. He's certainly got the prototype measurables. He's a guy that will go early in the draft.
Yeah, like the 6th pick overall. So here's how it looks. Sam Bradford, number 1 overall to St. Louis. Number two, Detroit takes Ndamukong Suh, the defensive tackle from Nebraska. Tampa Bay, number three, takes Gerald McCoy, the defensive tackle from Oklahoma. Number four, Washington takes Trent Williams, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma. And to the best of our – what year are you at right now?
I'm researching back. I'm back to 1954 and no in the school, NFL draft. No school had ever had three of the first four drafted in the
one
NFL
One school,
draft.
Though, Michigan State, right, had three of the first five.
Three of the first
what
five.
What about the Gators?
Not yet. I'm still going back, Vic. Maybe
the
deep
further you
the
go
50s.
Back, the less opportunity that has of happening.
Also, by the way, Kent State did not have – three of the first four at any
one. You mean Bill
point.
Asbury didn't go number
they haven't
one?
Had anybody
how about
in
Nodding
the top
Wade?
Four?
How about Don Nottingham?
Still not. I haven't been able to find anybody
what
in the top three.
What year was that?
The human bowling ball.
Was that like back in Robin Hood days
watch
or what?
Watch it, pal. Watch it.
All right.
Nottingham, you know.
Six picks.
It was in my dormitory.
Six picks in the first 48 minutes of the draft. And now we've got Cleveland, followed by Oakland, Buffalo, before Jacksonville picks. And you look at some of the names who are sitting there. Bulaga is a guy who could slide through to the Jaguars, although Buffalo, it would seem to make sense for them to grab an offensive tackle. Their offensive line, as you mentioned, wasn't very good.
Bulaga, Dan Williams, C.J. Spiller, we talked about Joe Hayden. You know,
they're all still
that's
there.
That's the crowd. It's
they're going to get one of their guys unless they move back.
Looks to me like Buffalo is going to determine who the Jaguars picked. You know what I mean by that?
Okay, I
they
do.
They need an offensive lineman. They need a defensive lineman. They've been linked to Dan Williams. They've been linked to a Bulaga if he's there.
Quarterback.
Now, that's an interesting
point. I hear that Chan Gailey is not a Jimmy Clausen guy. Of course, that could be a smokescreen.
But Mike Holmgren could be.
Could be. He threw a major smokescreen.
At number seven.
There.
Obviously, major. He's the president of the Cleveland Browns now.
He said, I wish I liked him more. I don't think I ever heard that. I mean, that is so pregnant with smoke. You know, I wish I liked him more. I bet you he does.
So this is where
you wouldn't say that if you didn't like a guy, would you?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, Mike.
I don't know him either. But I'm just saying. I can't imagine why you would say that about anybody if you didn't like them and you're trying to send a false signal.
I don't know. He kind of thinks of himself in
erudite. Way.
You're not allowed to speak to him, you know.
Yeah, he's you know.
Let's throw another wrinkle, another name into this. The safety from Texas, Earl Thomas, has been a climber as of late. They were supposedly very interested in Eric Berry. Would it make sense for another safety to be on their radar screen?
I've heard that he's similar to another safety we know.
Reggie Nelson?
Yeah, he's a great athlete who misses tackles and blows coverages.
That's not a good combination.
I mean, I'm sorry, but that's been the track record. I don't think that's a secret.
C.J. Spiller be on the Browns' radar?
Sure, he could. They ran the ball very well last year, but they ran it with overachievers.
That's right.
Jerome Harrison and the rookie Jennings that they had on the
field. C.J. In that division? Oh, yeah.
He's not your typical AFC North
no,
running back.
No,
though.
He's not. He's not a plow
horse. He's a speed guy.
That's
he's
right.
He's a get to the edge. He's a use the speed. He's a game breaker
he's
type.
He's not a Cleveland in December.
He's more of a fast not. Willie Parker style than he is a Jerome Bettis style.
You're absolutely right.
So we'll see where the Cleveland Browns elect to go. And then, of course,
Willie Parker did okay in that division
for a short period of time.
I bet you did.
The Browns are on the clock, followed by the Oakland Raiders, which is just it's the biggest wild card on draft day now.
You always want the Oakland Raiders drafting ahead of you.
It's a free pick.
Well, this year they're talking about offensive tackle and how badly they need one out there. They could have had Eugene Monroe last year.
But that's Al Davis.
Yeah, well.
I mean, he's nuts.
Who do you think they take, the Raiders? We got him with Jimmy Clausen. I just wanted to get Clausen out of the way so we wouldn't have to deal with it. And
Dez Bryant is smiling.
If
Dez Bryant gets drafted here, hey,
then yeah,
that's
then
good for the Jaguars.
They just another Braylon Edwards pick.
They just showed him. That doesn't mean it. You know,
doesn't mean he's going to get drafted. I'm just saying, you know, he was smiling.
3 minutes left.
Doesn't mean anything
for them to make.
You
their
can't
selection.
Throw the football in Cleveland in December. Steelers, the Bengals, and the Ravens will love that.
Brady
pick.
Quinn.
This would be good for the Jaguars.
Absolutely,
root
it
for
would
it
be.
To happen. Don't criticize
them. Brownies!
Well, you're going to jinx it.
You know, when you the Browns
perfect line. Fit. Take them, Mike Holmgren.
Ah, the Brownouts.
The Brownouts.
The Brownouts.
So the Jaguars are sitting there now.
If you drafted him, though, in the top 10, I mean, with his character background, you're crazy.
Cleveland would be a great place for him.
Is there any way of knowing?
No one would know.
But they're showing somebody else on the phone. Not sure who it is.
Yeah, but mom's crying, so that's got to be a good sign.
But it's not. It's not your guy, Vic.
Mom's calling him Demas Marcus.
The guy's crying, so obviously he's very happy of being the selection of the Cleveland Browns. But it is not.
We couldn't
Brian Bulaga.
Yeah, we couldn't see the.
Couldn't tell who it was.
We couldn't see the table card.
Here, Bulaga coming. He's coming around the bend.
Sing it, Johnny. Sing it, Johnny.
So here we are, right? Here we are through six picks. You think Bulaga is going to be the Jaguars pick at 10?
Him or Dan Williams. Whoa, Dan Williams
or C.J. Spiller.
Yeah, we forgot C.J. Spiller.
Mm-hmm. Boy, Bulaga. Joe Hayden is on the phone right now with the Cleveland.
There's no crying on draft day.
Yeah, mom can cry.
I think every one of them's crying.
If you got a check,
I didn't cry.
If you had a check like that, though, you might.
Well, I mean, back in the day, I mean, it was the same feeling, but I didn't cry. I was smiling.
Jeff, with the money they're getting in the top 10, it was not the same feeling. No way. But the Joe Hayden to Cleveland connection has been made for a long time. This has been the name coming out of Cleveland from the early days of the offseason. That was a guy who they really liked. When he ran the bad time at the combine in the 40, there were folks who wondered, well, would he slide down further than that? But anybody who watched Florida play this year, I mean, Joe Hayden is a terrific cornerback. Whether he is Darrell Revis, I don't know.
The wrap on him,
maybe a step
different level of speed.
Just a step below. He ran very well on a wet day in Gainesville in his individual workout.
Yeah, well, me and Vic were kind of comparing the great corners that have never had great speed, and you know, Ty Law is the first one that comes to mind.
Here's the commissioner with the Browns selection at number 7 in the first round. As we close in on 55 minutes into the draft,
with the 7th pick in the 2010 NFL Draft. The Cleveland Browns select Joe Hayden, defensive back, Florida.
This qualifies as a surprise. When you have a team that is big guy challenged, they have massive needs on their defensive line. Don't be fooled by the way their defensive line played against the Jaguars. You know, they did some things late in the season when it was 10 below zero. They got pushed all over the field all year long, and they have massive defensive line needs.
Yeah, but you know what this looks like to me, Vic? This looks like a best available player pick. This looks like a guy they had highest on their board of the remaining guys and went, all right.
This is a short side corner. You want to know the truth? That's his reputation. That's how he's regarded, a short side corner. I don't think a short side corner can be drafted in the top 10.
Well, he just was. I think he's better than you think he is, apparently. But here's a guy who's terrific! In his career with Florida as a coverage guy, he's got to make a play on the ball. They hardly ever threw the ball his way last year. He was, his coverage reputation was so good.
Here's GM Gene Smith on Joe Hayden, the former Gator, now Brown.
Joe Hayden, cornerback, Florida.
Very competitive. He's a guy that I think could come in for anybody. If you have two corners, he'd come in and play the nickel spot. But he really had a tremendous career for him.
And so the Cleveland Browns give way to the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders, the Buffalo Bills, are all that stand between the Jaguars and Brian Bulaga or C.J. Spiller or Dan Williams.
Hey, by the way, that cut that we just got from Gene Smith,
yeah.
he just gave you a major hint. He just gave you a major tip in that cut. That Joe Hayden was a candidate here, a prominent candidate. Did you hear what he said?
Tell it to me again.
Play Gene Smith again. Tell me where's the hint that Joe Hayden was going to be the Jaguars pick?
Joe Hayden, cornerback, Florida.
Very competitive. He's a guy that I think could come in for anybody. If you have two corners, he'd come in and play the nickel spot. But he really had a tremendous career for him.
Who has two corners?
Hey, it looks like the Jaguars do. Uh-huh. Rasheed Mathis, Derek Cox. Yeah,
that was a lob. I mean, that was a soft pitch there.
And he also pulled the very competitive. And we know Gene Smith and Jack Del Rio like guys who are highly competitive.
He just told us that Joe Hayden was a serious candidate for them. So one of the Jaguars serious candidates has just gone off the board.
But with two picks between them, there are still a couple more that they can choose from. Dan Williams, C.J. Spiller, and Brian Bulaga.
So they'll have the chance to get one of those three players that you just named.
Take a quick break.
Bulaga coming.
All right. You say that the Raiders have made their selection already, and we will hold on and grab that one. You wonder.
They'll hold the Raiders off for short. Their pick is in, but the commissioner will not go to the podium because Deion Sanders is interviewing Joe Hayden.
Well, it is a primetime draft all, Jeff.
And this is primetime
Deion Sanders.
Something.
Didn't Des Bryant get in trouble for talking to Deion?
Okay,
so who, back from him.
Do they take Des Bryant to go with Darius Hay Bay or whatever his name is?
And
who's going to deliver the
Russell?
Ball?
All right, so
can you imagine? I mean, you're just putting the icing on top of the icing on top of the icing on top of the icing of making that a dysfunctional franchise.
Can't imagine them taking Brian Bulaga.
Watch, they're going to take Des Bryant. Watch.
It's preposterous.
No, that's the way they do it. I mean, character is not a concern for the Raiders.
No, it isn't.
C.J. Spiller's still there. Dan Williams still there. Brian Bulaga's there. One of those three guys, in my opinion, is probably going to be the Jaguars pick.
Might this also be a Jason Pierre-Paul pick by Oakland?
That's the kind of pick they might go after.
Yeah, they've been linked to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a home run swing.
Yeah.
But that's what the Raiders do.
They consistently try to catch lightning in a bottle.
I'm kind of worried now.
About?
That trade.
Yeah. Which trade, Vic?
The trade with Quentin Groves. He has to pass a physical tomorrow for them to get the fifth-round pick.
Ah.
Right.
So he could somehow be completely healthy and fail that physical.
Please don't take Pierre-Paul.
Rolando McClain is on the phone
right
now.
Good pick.
Go, Rolando.
Well, Rolando is not in New York.
He's in Decatur.
Alabama, not Illinois.
Great player, great person. Coach on the field, really bright, outstanding character, the whole bit.
If they pick Rolando McClain, this may be one of their best picks in recent memory.
Here's the commissioner.
With the eighth pick in the 2010 NFL draft, the Oakland Raiders select Rolando McClain, linebacker, Alabama.
Now an Oakland Raider, and we've got Gene Smith, the general manager of the Jaguars, on the preeminent middle linebacker in this year's draft.
Rolando McClain, linebacker, Alabama.
Football player. I mean, he's a big inside linebacker. He's a guy that can certainly play the run. He was a leader of their defense. He's got awareness and coverage.
All right, so eight picks down. The Buffalo Bills are on the clock, then the Jaguars. Let's take a break. 1 hour into the 2010 NFL Draft. You're listening on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. With the ninth pick in the draft, while we were at a break, selected
C.J. Spiller, running back, Clemson.
A guy who is quick and fast. A guy that can do a lot of different things. I would call him an offensive weapon, you know, whether it's on the backfield and whether it's in the slot position or whether it's as a returner.
All right, let's set it up real quick. The Jaguars are now on the clock, and who do you see?
Okay, Clawson's available, so you've got the trade option is alive.
We don't think that the Jaguars would draft
Clawson. They're going to use all 10 minutes. They're going to use all 10 minutes because they're going to try to trade down. Clawson is available. They are going to try to trade down. That's one option. Another option is pick Clawson. Another option is pick Pierre-Paul. Pick Brian Bulaga. I hear him coming. Pick Dan Williams or trade for Ben Roethlisberger. Forget about that one. Or there's one other option, ladies and gentlemen, and we all know what that is. Tim Tebow.
Do you have a song for that?
I don't hear him.
I hear Bulaga coming.
All right, so
coming around the bend.
Let's make your predictions right now what we're going to see here. Let's go around the table. What's going
to
happen here?
I'll start. I don't think they're going to be able to trade down. I don't think anybody's going to want to. Is going to be willing to come up. I think they pick, and I think they're going to take Bulaga.
Okay,
I agree.
Brian?
I say Bulaga also.
I think they are going to trade down. I think they're going to And they may take a little less than what the card says, but I think based on the track record that they've developed, I think that's a good plan. Get more picks because I think that's the benefit for somebody who might want Jimmy Clausen.
I'm 55-45 Belaga. The 45 is Dan Williams.
Okay.
Well, there's 4 minutes left on the clock for the Jaguars to make their selection. C.J. Spiller, a local guy, grew up about 60 miles from here, went to High. In fact, he was compared to Chris Johnson in many ways.
How about Pierre Paul? Nobody
thought he'd be here
cronies, huh?
Back in February.
Oh, he is mouth-watering.
I'd want to trade down a little bit. You know, you're talking $18 million of upfront money for a guy that doesn't have a whole lot of track record. That'd be difficult.
And can the Jaguars draft a player right now who they aren't convinced will make an impact right away?
If he's on the top of their board, yes.
And so, I mean, again, you're right. Ultimately, the question is with Gene Smith, who's the top guy left?
I could see him standing or sitting back there saying, "Oh, mother of God, please help me." take Pierre Paul.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those deals where if he's at the top of your board, you've got to be true to your philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a top of the board kind of guy. We're 10 picks into this thing now, and this is a talent like there isn't anywhere else in this draft.
I will say this. I am convinced, and I think you three are as well, that Gene Smith will stay true to he's a man of his principles. He'll stay true to his philosophy on this thing. I don't think he's going to make a reach if Pierre Paul is ranked 12th or 15th or something like that. I don't think they go there just because it would, you know, potentially fill a need.
How many times has he said, I've heard it several times, he said it at the draft preview lunch mm-hmm. last week, we will improve our rush. Mm-hmm. We will affect the throw. That was his exact quote.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are insistent on improving their pass rush. Do they have this guy in mind? Was all of that said with Pierre Paul in mind, and they knew he would be there? We have to consider that.
Or do they have a guy in mind later on? You know, whether it's a Jerry Hughes or.
Well, they didn't say how they would improve it, and certainly in free agency they have with Aaron Campman.
No.
What was that?
That was the producer acting up.
He was speaking of the draft, though.
Yeah.
This was draft preview lunch, and we were speaking specifically of the draft. The question was, the pick is in?
It's in because the Broncos have gone on the clock, and obviously the
Jaguars traded?
Well, we don't know yet.
We don't know.
The pick is in is all we know.
The pick is in. That's all it says.
And but there's still a wait at commercial break on TV, and of course we all know
they won't announce
you follow
until
TV.
TV is on.
That's
always,
right.
They disrespect the Jaguars. It's always
always a break for the Jaguars, no doubt about it. And you know that's what you get when you get a small market team, right? Mm. All right, so we're getting close to the Jaguars.
Wait.
The Jaguars' pick is in, whatever it is, which means they did not trade out.
They picked Chris Berman,
which means they did make a pick. It was not a trade here, and everybody else in the room now thinks it's Brian Belaga.
Well,
here I'm coming.
I mean, it could be, but it could not be. I mean, who knows? I mean, you also have Derek Morgan, Georgia Tech, sitting there.
That's,
I mean,
that's right. That's
a
name.
He's a proven commodity.
No,
you know, less risk.
He's not the mouth-watering pass rusher that Pierre Paul is.
How many sacks did he have?
A lot.
Derek Morgan.
A bunch. Derek Morgan had a bunch.
He had more than Pierre Paul.
But he's Derek Harvey. Where would you play him? He's got to play, you know.
He's a base end, not a rush end.
Yeah.
That's the thought on
him. Is
there
somebody that it could possibly be that we're just missing?
Yes, it could be. Who it is?
Could it be in love with Jimmy Clausen?
Yeah, that's a
and just pick him.
No. Dirk Cutter loves him, but I sensed disappointment in his voice. That
the commissioner has the card.
The opinion wasn't shared,
and he's making his way to the podium with what we imagine will be the Jaguars' selection.
Turn it up, Joe.
Tyson Alualu.
With the 10th pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Tyson Alualu.
Remember last night?
Defensive tackle, California.
Remember last night?
I do.
I told you over and over, remember that name. They were in love with him. Do you remember?
I do.
Wow.
I didn't think they were this in love with him. But I said last night on the air, how many times did I make you pronounce that name?
Over and over and over.
Well, they found their guy to go next to Terrence Knighton, apparently, and they like Tyson Alualu more than any of the other defensive linemen who are on the board, including Dan Williams.
This is integrity drafting. This is creative draft. This is trusting your scouts.
This is targeting guys and getting your guy.
This is best available player. This is a guy obviously who had to be at the top of their board.
Yeah, and I think you hit it right on the head. Trusting your scouts. Last year, when the Jaguars drafted traded up to get Derek Cox, and when they also drafted Terrence Knight in the third round, there was a real uproar about that. Fans didn't know anything about them. Didn't think why would you trade up and so forth. Well, they turned out to be the two best rookies on the team last year. This is a little bit out of the blue kind of pick from what everybody else is seeing, but it is a trust your scouts kind of pick.
Now you watch for the John Henderson situation.
Yeah, right? I think
this is only half of it.
Yeah, yeah, I think now that you've gotten the three technique tackle to go along with the one, which Terrence Knighton is the nose, Alualu would be a three.
Mm-hmm.
John Henderson, I would imagine, is going to get shopped.
Gentlemen, I have to leave you.
All right.
To go do my job.
And we expect to hear from Jack Del Rio, along with Gene Smith, maybe the position coach. Let's do this. Let's take a break right now while we can, because we're going to be on for a while we wait for some of these other guys to arrive. Jaguars, with a bit of a surprise, Tyson Alualu, defensive lineman from Cal. More to come right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
The Denver Broncos have traded the number 11 pick to the San Francisco 49ers. With the 11th pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Anthony Davis, offensive tackle, Rutgers.
Welcome back to our live coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft. The Jaguars clearly could not swing the trade down that we heard so much about, and they selected defensive tackle Tyson Alualu from the University of California, a guy that last night came to our awareness when Vic Ketchman brought him up, got him into the first round, and that's obviously where Gene Smith was looking to go back to get him. And now the Broncos and Niners made a swap, and the folks in San Francisco grabbed Anthony Davis, the big offensive tackle from Rutgers. So still on the board is Brian Bulaga and Dan Williams and Jimmy Clausen and Jason Pierre-Paul and all those guys.
All right, so we're not the only – I mean, I'm sure the listeners
– Who is Tyson Alualu?
That is the question, Jeffrey. And here are a few things we've scrummed up here in the last couple of minutes about Tyson Alualu. Married, has two kids. Is from Hawaii, played at Cal, lives by the motto, God first and everything else will fall in place, did play in the Senior Bowl and had a sack of Tim Tebow in that game.
Just to add to that, he actually delayed entry to college because of the birth of his first child and marriage.
Okay.
Also, at the Combine, he registered a 35-inch vertical jump and had the best shuttle time of any defensive tackle at the Combine. Extremely tough and durable. This is some of the scouting information that they have on him. Extremely tough, extremely durable. The negatives, let me just finish up with the positive here, what they say. Great agility and balance, great motor, locks out, controls blockers, very instinctive, outstanding football intelligence. The negatives: doesn't have ideal body length for a five technique, not extremely strong bench press. I mean, so positive, negatives, and to find out more about the defensive tackle, Tyson Alualu, we have the general manager, Gene Smith, joining us right now at the table. And Gene, we had him on the board down at 31 with the Indianapolis, and most people go, who is Tyson Alualu?
Well, we did a tremendous amount of work.
Joe, could we? Okay.
We did a tremendous amount of work on Tyson, and he's a guy that throughout the entire process, the more work we did, the more we felt stronger about him. certainly we thought he was one of the elite players in the draft. He was playing in a 3-4 defense this year as an end. You have to go back to 08 to watch him as a 3 technique. We certainly feel, as a scout, you got to be a little bit of a visionary, projecting them to a level they've never played at. And then also, this guy has played every position across the defensive line, and we felt in our 4-3 front, this guy's a true 3 technique, a guy that's had 17 sacks at Cal. He had a sack in the Senior Bowl. He's able to win one-on-one when he's matched up with that frontside guard in pass protection. And he's just a tremendous effort player. You know, he's one of those rare innate competitors. So you got talent, you got certainly a competitor, and then outstanding character. So to me, that's a complete package when you're trying to target a player and bring him into our organization.
One of the things that I think we've come to learn for you in a very short time is that when you kind of get your crosshairs on somebody, you know, where you've got your guys, you target them. And when you want them, you're going to go get them. And this seems to be one of those guys.
No question. We're not trying to win a popularity contest. I'm about winning the Super Bowl for this city. And obviously, we allow the body of our work drive our decision making. And we felt very good about him. I'm so happy he's a part of this football team. You know, in the end, it is a team sport, and this guy has been a team player. He's done whatever they've asked at Cal. I can't speak any higher of Tyson than some of the statements I've already made.
Gene, one of the things I'm reading, just I'm kind of getting caught up to date on. We get a chance to see a lot of those Cal games here in the East Coast, and guy who sleeps 2 or 3 hours a night and gets right to work and goes all day, which sounds like somebody I know, a guy, early riser type. Was this a guy who you thought you could get if you moved down a little bit? You thought you might be able to trade back, and did you entertain some of those conversations?
We did. We were very aggressive starting back in February and talking with teams, and there was not a lot of substance in trade backs. So going through the day here, you would think there'd be a lot of phone calls. There really wasn't. There might be more tomorrow. But I think because of the strength of the draft towards the top end, there were teams that certainly liked players where they were picking. And I think you saw with some of the picks made, people had done a lot of work, felt very comfortable with the players they were selecting, and we were one of them as well.
So are you locked out of the second round now? Or is there a shot that a player trade or something else could work to get you back into that?
That's certainly a consideration.
Vic mentioned John Henderson's name now, obviously, drafting a young defensive tackle. I mean, is that maybe one of the few guys you could move?
Well, we'll listen to anything from teams around the NFL. Anything that we feel can improve our roster. Like I said, we have somewhere we want to go with this football team. And so I would be open to really any talk with the team concerning really any player that I thought was someone that would be of consideration.
Was this a difficult decision? I mean, when you look at some of the names that were left at the point you were drafting, you know, a Derek Morgan, Brian Bulaga, was it difficult or was this your guy?
Well, I don't think it was difficult. This was a guy, you could compare him to a lot of different players towards the top end of the draft.
Who would you compare Aluwalu to in the NFL? His style, the physical type, the way he plays the game? Because we kind of do that, you know, when we're watching some of these college players. You know, we look at the Joe Hayden for Florida, and, you know, first person that came to my mind was Ty Law. You know, doesn't possess great speed, but a tremendous playmaker. Does somebody come to your mind when you look at Aluwalu?
Well, from a motor standpoint, I would say McCrary. I would say Vanden Bosch. I would say
two of
Campman.
The greatest motors of all time.
I would say Campman. So in terms of trying to compare him to like one player, I'd like to think he would make an identity for himself here. But I can certainly say motor-wise, he sticks out in the guys that I've scouted now through 16 years. In the NFL as to a defensive lineman that plays every snap like it's his last.
McCrary was one of the greatest motors I've ever seen.
I think you can talk to Tony Baselli about that. I think
he will tell you that, absolutely.
The other thing here that struck me, Gene, was that last year when you picked Derek Cox and Terrence Knighton in the third round both, it was a pick you talked about afterwards, trusting your scouts and trusting your eyes. Same situation here. Did somebody bring Alualu to your attention, a scout who really saw this, and you got into it, and you guys scouted this guy obviously quite a bit and found that, yeah, he was everything you thought he was?
Well, you know, it starts May of last year. You know, we go to the Blesto meeting. We're part of, that scouting combine. Obviously, our scouts do a lot of work, too, on rising senior prospects in the spring after the draft. This is a guy we were on very early. But, again, when you study him for the last 2 years, you study him at the Senior Bowl. You study him at the combine. You study him at his spring workout. Everything comes back good on this player. And I'm talking about the film, certainly the competitive nature that he has. It's innate in him. And then just a character makeup. Here's a guy who works his way through college, providing for his wife and two children. Okay? He's a team captain. He's lifter of the year. He wins the Joe Roth Award for character in their entire program. All right? And on top of it, he's a heck of a football player, playing virtually every position on the defensive line the last 2 years. I think this one here, when you look at height, weight, speed, he's 6'0", 2'5". He's 295 pounds. He runs in the 4.8s. He's vertical at 35.5. He's got 33-inch arms, 10-inch hands. He's got core strength. He's got play strength. This one here, again, when you do more work on this guy, it'll become more obvious to you.
So how big are his biceps?
Bigger than mine.
You just rolled out these numbers like
bigger than my thighs.
And I know you got to go meet with the media, but quickly, just a thought on the draft. Now, through 1 through 10, we did not see a trade, but all of a sudden we have seen 3 trades. We've seen the Niners, the Chargers, and the Eagles all move up to 11, 12, 13. What does that tell you about where we are? Are now teams moving up to get the guys they want because they fear there's a run? Is there anything to the fact that now we've seen a run of trades?
Well, it's difficult to get up in the top 10 area from a numeric point standpoint. And I think the other thing is, if they had a guy that they had on their draft board, maybe in the top 5 or the top 8, the guy starts sliding, and a team that covets that particular player wants to move up to get that player.
You're essentially done tonight because there's only one round, unless you've got something else in mind. What do you guys do now from this point forward? Do you just do what you'd always do, just monitor it? Or are you working the phones as much? How does the fact that we're, you know, one round tonight and then 2 rounds tomorrow change what's going on in your war room?
Well, it doesn't change a lot for player personnel. We'll still be talking to teams, believe it or not, and we'll be talking to teams in the early morning hours. We've got teams out on the West Coast. If, in fact, they call us, or if we're doing some work on our own with some of the considerations that we have, it'll actually be beyond the conclusion of the draft tonight for us.
All right.
Well, Gene, congratulations on second of two first-round picks. You've had 2 years in a row. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that might say, who is Tyson Alualu? Well, you know what? Last year you had a pretty good draft.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm only as good as the people around me, and I'm so happy that Tyson's a part of our organization because he exemplifies everything we're looking for in a player on the defensive side of the ball in particular, because he's got the temperament and the character makeup and, again, the competitiveness.
One last thought. Did you worry that anybody ahead of you or someone might jump up ahead of you was going to take Tyson Alualu?
There was one team in particular that we were monitoring, and certainly he was a guy that much like other years, he's a familiar in player personnel departments around the league, but he's not as familiar to the media. Maybe it's because he's out on the West Coast. Maybe it's because he played in the 3-4 as an end. I don't know what the reasons are. All I can say is I'm happy he's a Jaguar.
Congratulations. We look forward to seeing him.
Thank you very much.
All Thank right, you, Gene.
Lots of work left to do. Gene Smith, ladies and gentlemen, the general manager of the Jaguars, speaking on Tyson Alualu for the very first time. And you heard it all right here on News Talk Radio WOKV. We've seen some movement here. throughout the last couple of minutes while we have been focused, and we are working, by the way, to get Tyson Alualu on this program. The Niners jumped up and grabbed Anthony Davis. The Chargers jumped up and grabbed Ryan Matthews, probably the only other running back that fit in the first round. Big power back from Fresno State, now a San Diego Charger. And then the Eagles made a move up, and they are sitting right now in the 13th spot, and they take Brandon Graham, the pass-rushing defensive end from the University of Michigan, which leaves the folks out in Seattle on the clock once again.
Tyson Alualu, huh? I mean,
But if you know Gene Smith at all, you could just see it building in him as we went through.
I was just about to say, we asked him some of those questions, and then once he started getting into the sort of nitty-gritty of the player,
he knows him.
He got fired. Oh, there's no doubt he knows this. I mean, they will do their due diligence on these players. There's no doubt about it. And if anybody ever comes up with a conversation again and says that the Jaguars are going to make a pick based on marketing, no, because Tyson Alualu isn't going to sell a ticket because people followed him in college or anything else.
No, you need to make a pick that's going to improve your team. That's what's going to sell tickets for the long term. And you know, I've really kind of have learned this about Gene is that you know when he's got people in mind, he's gonna target people.
Yep.
You know, he doesn't have. I think his board. For example, if there's 600 draftable players, I would venture to guess that he maybe has 175 on his board, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if
guys that he wants and guys
these
he
are the guys
consider.
That he wants. You know, and you get that impression with Tyson. You know, in much the same way, and he wanted them, and he got them.
The very first thing, by the way, that he said is, as we bring Tyson Alualu on with us. Is we had him as an elite player. Tyson, welcome to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Congratulations on being the 10th pick in the draft.
Thank you, man. It's a privilege for me to be, you know, just being in the NFL and for it to be the Jaguars is on its own. I'm excited to come in and show it to the table.
Now, Tyson, did you have any idea that the Jacksonville Jaguars could be drafting you possibly as a top 10 pick?
Not at all. To be honest, it caught me off guard. But, you know, I mean, I give all the glory to God above. Man, that's how he works, man, in mysterious ways. And, man, I just give him the glory. But I didn't see it coming.
You know what? They obviously were interested in you, though, and you knew that.
Yeah, I knew they were interested. I just thought they would either get me in the second or trade down, if anything. My agent even told me yesterday that he thinks that Jacksonville would trade down to get a later pick.
Who else was interested in you? Do you know?
Man, I'm a team show interest. It was the Eagles, the Patriots, Tennessee Titans, Atlanta, Denver.
Yep, you got it.
All of them was. So, man, for it to be 10 overall, man, I'm just blessed, man. I can't express with my words.
Tyson, we just talked with Gene just a second ago, and the first things that come out of his mouth, high character guy, high motor guy, high quality person. He kind of talked to us about how you married with two kids, you worked your way through college, you're a captain, and you've done everything to make a good citizen as well as being a great football player. You've got to take pride in the fact that you have been able to have the success you've had on the football field as well as with your family.
Yeah, and again, man, I owe it to a lot of people putting me in this position that I'm in now. First of all, and then, you know, God just put a lot of great people in my way to help me succeed as far as my parents, the way they bring me up, and then went to Cal, my coaches, and just always putting me in a position. And just my love and passion for the game, just, you know, kept me humble, kept me grounded, my faith. And so just words can't express how I feel right now, just so grateful and blessed.
The three big topics I thought that Gene Smith really touched on with you was your competitive nature, how competitive you are on the football field, your high character, and how good a teammate you were. You played just about everywhere on that defensive line that they asked you to at Cal. How much of an adjustment was it to have to go from position to position, and where do you feel most comfortable?
I mean, like I said, it was a game plan thing. I played all the positions on the D-line, and it was just the coaches, you know, doing, just putting me in the right position to succeed on the field and whatever it was, whatever position it was. But as far as comfortability, I felt more comfortable playing all the positions from D-tackle to D-end. So, I mean, I found success at both positions, so I don't have a preference. So whatever you guys want me to play, that's what I'll play.
How's the weather in Hawaii tonight, today, this afternoon
it's nice.
For you?
It's real good, man. And then to put this over the top, man, it's even better right now.
Well, Tyson, congratulations, and I'm sure you're going to be anxious. You're from Hawaii, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And you're going to be here with fellow Hawaiian Vince Manoa.
Yep, Vince Manoa. I actually got my cousins and friends here that are real good friends with him.
All right, Tyson, we'll look forward to seeing you in Jacksonville shortly.
Yeah, I look forward to coming there and competing out there.
All congratulations. Right.
That's the Jaguars.
Thank you.
First round pick, the 10th overall selection from Cal Berkeley. Pac-10 guy, so we'll bring in our own Pac-10 guy. Head coach Jack Del Rio joins us now, and we will get his insight on how a guy like Tyson Alualu will impact the competition at defensive tackle, where last year third round pick Terrence Knighton became an excellent player. And obviously you've got John Henderson, who's been there as well. Your thoughts on Tyson Alualu?
Well, very excited to add him to the football team. You know, he plays with tremendous passion. He's got great quickness, has great hip torque. Coach Cullen talks about the motor, and this guy has that motor we're looking for. He'll be a penetrating three technique in our defense. We really think that he can help our defense become much more of an attacking front that we covet, that we're looking for, and that we expect to be this year. And he'll be our three technique, and we think he's going to be a real good one.
The foundation of your defense early on, Jack, and when you first got here, Stroud and Henderson, you know, I mean, the two big guys in the middle. Could these two guys, Terrence Knighton and Tyson, be those two pillars for your defense?
Well, we think they have a chance to be dominant players inside for us. We were very pleased to get Terrence last year where we did, and we're excited to have Tyson added to the mix, and we do believe that these two young men are going to be real good players for a long time.
Now you have all night to kind of sit and watch.
Yeah.
You know, is there a way possibly that you guys can find a way into the second round? So many people talk about this draft being a very deep draft and having a quality second round. Is there a way to kind of get back into the game in the second round, or would the cost be too high?
Yeah, there are ways, but I doubt it will happen. I think the most likely scenario for us is that we'll be up in the third round tomorrow. We'll be ready to select a good football player at that point. I think that we will be busy with other considerations. You know, obviously, you know, Gene's been very active in looking at and considering potential scenarios where, you know, we may do something with either a player on our roster or somebody else's roster or within the picks that we have coming up later in this draft, you know, over this weekend. So I know that there's still a lot of work to be done.
You know, here's another example, though, of going out in the last two drafts, getting big guys early. There are only so many big bodies, too, and you get a big guy who, as Gene called him, competitive, high-character guy and a great teammate. It certainly sounds like a pretty good package for a guy that was not on the radar for a lot of folks, around the NFL, looking, you know, mock drafts and so forth. Right. Very few had him in the first round.
Yeah, I think what happens is, you know, you get an initial group, and then it kind of gets regurgitated. But this guy was a riser on a lot of boards. When you get done looking at the tape, this is a guy that played a five technique, and he could do that. But for us, he's going to be a penetrating three technique defensive tackle, and that's what that's really what we're coveting, and we're placing a value on, and we think for that particular role that he, you know, brings a lot of value to us, and we're really excited to have him on our football team.
The average listener does not know the difference between a five technique and a three technique.
Well, he played with a square stance,
okay,
almost like a frog look, and played a lot on the offensive tackle.
So that's a five technique.
That would be a five technique, okay. And that would be and he played the end position. So he was graded on a lot of mocks, and a lot of the draft nicks considered him a defensive end. And And so if you look at him as a defensive end, then you wouldn't think that he would be, you know, anywhere before maybe late second, early third round. But as a three technique penetrating defensive tackle, if you look at his measurables and you look at his character and you look at his on-field performance and his production, we're really excited.
I would have to think. I mean, here you had Dan Williams, you know, from Tennessee, sitting right there as well.
Right.
I mean, to me, that tells you how much you guys thought of Alu-Alu if Dan Williams is sitting there and
exactly.
You don't take him.
Exactly. And we liked Dan, but obviously we like Tyson a little better.
Jack, I guess this is probably an easy answer to this question, but one of the things that you and Gene talked about in the pre-draft luncheon was when you target some players. You had some players you really thought were Jaguars kind of players. This guy's got to fit in that category of guys you really felt going in. Now, that's a Jaguar kind of player.
Yes, definitely. You know, this was a guy that we were excited about the prospect of adding, and you know, glad that we were able to get it done today.
Year two with Gene Smith running the draft. Yeah. Your impressions of Gene and kind of how this whole process works with Gene and how he does things.
Well, I think the biggest thing I think is really obvious for anybody that's paying attention to what we've done is that, you know, we're going to follow our eyes and the work that we put in. And Gene's not worried about, like, how it's going to be portrayed afterwards. He just wants to collect good players that have the things we're looking for. And this young man has the things we're looking for. And the tape that we watched, you know, in our opinion, we have to believe what we're seeing with our eyes. And I give him a lot of credit because that takes some guts. You know, it's not easy to do. And there aren't a lot of people that do it. So I tip my hat to him for that. And then, you know, like last year with Terrence and Derek and some of the other guys that we took and there were question marks. Hey, they're all question marks. They're all prospects until they get here and start playing. They're all question marks. But, you know, they were answered favorably last year, and I feel confident that they'll be this young man will answer those questions as well, you know, with the opportunity he'll get to perform on the field for us.
Have you met with the media yet?
I'm meeting with you. That's my first
show. I'm just curious. I mean, how long it will take for the question to be asked? Does this mean that John Henderson becomes trade bait?
Yeah, I'm just going to defer that to Gene. You know,
just curious.
Gene's answer to that was that, you know, we will listen to all parties. He did. That's all he said.
There you have it.
One way or the other.
There you have it. I'll let Gene speak to that kind of thing. You know, I'm excited about the player we just added.
Now, what are your expectations for him in terms of you know, best use and is he going to compete for a starting job and these sorts of things?
Well, obviously, everybody that we select over this weekend is going to get an opportunity to compete. Certainly a person that we select with the 10th overall pick, we think he should earn a starting role. But he's got to earn it. But we believe that he should earn a starting role and do believe that he's you know, that type of player and will have an impact for us this year. And we, you know, we expect him to come in and impact us right away.
Have you said anything to Joe Cullen yet? I mean, here you got Terrence Knighton, who was a very productive rookie.
Yep.
Maybe one of the most productive defensive tackle rookies there was. You got Aaron Campman in free agency. You got Reggie Hayward back. And now you're adding a top 10 pick.
You got Derek Harvey training like his hair is on
Derek
fire.
Derek Harvey, you know, so hey, Joe, don't screw it up.
No, I you know what? Joe's a grinder. He loves it. He loves guys with motors. This guy has a motor. I think he's excited to get to work. I did go over and tell him congratulations. We all, you know, Mel Tucker and Joe Cullen, myself, Gene, Terry, you know, we knew and we really wanted to burst out and tell you got to see this guy. You know, you wanted to talk about it, and we were sworn to secrecy, so we didn't. But you know, we're excited to have the guy that we thought could really make a difference for us.
And it's Tyson Alu-Alu, who is now a Jacksonville Jaguar. Coach, thanks for your time.
Oh, you bet.
Appreciate it. What do you think of the format, by the way? Thursday night primetime, round
one? Well,
it's
got to be good for the fans, I would think. Good overall exposure for the league. You know, for me, you kind of get started, and then you stop, and then you wait until tomorrow night again. That part's tough. You know, one thing that'll be good is that the talking heads have all day tomorrow, which normally is on the weekend. So now you have it, you know, on a typical – all the talk show radios and all those types of things.
We need more of that.
Well, I just say it gives a great opportunity for the league to get a lot of good exposure.
Well, and my comment was earlier, I'm sure you guys had the NFL Network on because you're seeing what's going on with the draft. And, mm-hmm. and did you have a chance to see kind of the opening ceremony of the draft where, you know, they had some of the NFL all-time greats, you know, Jerry Rice and Lawrence Taylor and Joe Montana, Jim Brown.
Yeah.
You know, and they bring it out with the class that's expected to be drafted. I mean, to me, I thought that was great. I
great
mean,
theater.
This is genius
yeah.
by the league by having it in prime time.
Have to give them credit. Yeah, the league, a couple different things this year they've done. You know, the whole Pro Bowl thing that, you know, people wondered about, that was a big success. And this certainly was a big success in terms of, you know, putting the league in the best light. You're talking about Hall of Famers. You're talking about some of the elite players that have, you know, played on football fields across the country. And so I think it is great, and it's come off real well. You know, from what I can gather, everything's come off real well for us.
Well, and having the schedule released 2 days prior to the draft, and the commissioner doesn't kind of release the information about Ben Roethlisberger until after, and it gets it done before the draft, you know, the commissioner, I think, is doing a great job.
Yeah, he's definitely put his imprint on the league. You know, I think you can see that he's got a certain style that he's going to go about his business with, and there's no gray area. I think you understand, you know, real clearly where you stand with him.
All right. That's head coach Jack Del Rio. We'll take this break and return with more of our live coverage right after this on WOKV.
Welcome back to the 2010 NFL Draft on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back to our coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft. We'll go till 10 o'clock straight up and then be off the air with our coverage of the draft. Jaguars selected just after an hour, which, man, this thing has been flying around.
Well, you get 10 minutes, you know, per pick. I mean, so you're talking what could have been 100 minutes didn't take that long. It's been going very fast.
Mm-hmm. So the next big story in Jacksonville is, where does Tim Tebow go? And you've seen
I'll
the Broncos.
I'll be so glad
when
that's done with.
Right.
You know, I mean, people are just out of their mind. I mean, really. I mean, people are like, oh, you know, the Jaguars are going to regret it if they don't pick him and he goes somewhere else. And hey, people, come on.
Well, some of the top personnel minds in the league are telling you right now that he doesn't fit in the first 15. So we'll find out. Now the folks in Tennessee are on the clock, the Titans.
For his benefit, and I said this a long time ago, for Tim's sake, I was hoping that he would not come here so that he would have a chance to develop
mm-hmm.
and to be his own guy and not have to, you know, be the man and save a franchise here in Jacksonville. So in a way, I'm glad the Jaguars didn't trade back and acquire that second-round pick because he's not going to make it to the third round, nor should he. He's
right.
One of the greatest college players of all time. So
but for him,
I wish him the best.
He can go somewhere else, and he can be a quarterback. He doesn't have to save the franchise, because if he doesn't sell the tickets that people thought he would, he'll be blamed for that. And if he doesn't play as well as people think they should, well, the coaches of the Jaguars could be blamed for it. Wherever he goes now, outside of the Southeast, he just gets to be a quarterback, mm-hmm. which is what should be the expectation for him.
Well, let me also take a little bit of a different stance on this, that last year, based on the draft that Gene Smith and Terry McDonough and the rest of the Jaguars scouting staff put together, I mean, it was an A-plus blockbuster kind of draft. I mean, top to bottom, every single guy made the team and contributed last year. I mean, it was as impressive a top-to-bottom draft as you'll find. All right, based on that kind of performance, even if you've never heard of Tyson Alualu, even if you wanted the Jaguars to draft Tim Tebow or anything else, you've got to at least give, you know, I think they've earned the right to have it proved otherwise at this point, don't they? I mean, not to kick you know, sand on Shaq Harris's grave or anything else.
Kick
but if,
all you want.
But
I
if,
mean, it's,
but if you had the
it is what
deserved.
It is.
But if you
I
had the
say,
track
it
record,
what it was.
But if you have the track record that Shaq had, okay, yeah, you could doubt a pick very easily. To me, the success that Gene Smith had last year in the draft buys them a pick that most Jaguars fans have never heard this name. And if they see it in the paper tomorrow, they may not know how to pronounce it.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about Gene, and did he have the intestinal fortitude to make a pick like Jason Pierre-Paul? Well, he just proved it, ladies and gentlemen. In spades, he proved it, because Tyson Alualu was a much – now,
Gene would probably differ that he's more proven, and that's probably the case based on his track record. But he was a guy that came from way down the board. Most folks thought that he was a guy who was going to be top of the second round kind of
pick. Looking at
I've read the Dallas Cowboys were shocked by the pick because they thought they had a shot at getting him at number 27.
Pro Football Weekly puts out their draft summary, and they rate their players, best available regardless of position. And Alualu was rated at number 42. And I think Gene did a great job of explaining why this guy wasn't on a lot of scouts' radar screen and also the national media, because he played multiple positions, defensive end, defensive tackle, nose tackle, and sometimes hard to evaluate.
Here's the Titans pick.
With the 16th pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Derek Morgan, defensive end, Georgia Tech.
And so now here comes the storyline that will be developed. Jaguars in need of a pass rush, the pass up on Derek Morgan, a guy who was considered to be, if not the top, one of the top defensive ends. And now they'll have to face him twice a year in the AFC South.
But there are some people that think he is right now as good as he'll ever be.
Right.
That he is a polished guy, has pass rush, can play the run, is a solid guy, but will never have the upside of Jason Pierre-Paul, which is obviously why Paul went before him. And Brandon Graham, Jack Del Rio said, was probably the best overall pure pass rusher in this draft, and he's gone as well, number 13 overall to the Philadelphia Eagles.
By the way, the guy who was probably had as many different spots on the board when you looked at mock drafts, high, low, all the way through the first round, and the guy who Vic thought the Jaguars would take as he slid, Brian Bulaga, is still on the board, just as another the offensive lineman, tackle and guard from Iowa.
And he could go off here because the San Francisco
49ers... He's not going to get past Pittsburgh, I can tell you that.
Yeah, they need help on the defensive line. So if San Fran, or on the offensive line, pardon me, if the Niners don't grab Bulaga right here, the Steelers could. Now remember, there's Mike Iupati, the big mauling offensive lineman from Idaho that's also there. So there are a couple of guys for them to select, but this selection for the Niners will be interesting because Bulaga is a guy who can play guard, center, or tackle. Iupati is a guy who can play guard or tackle.
The other another name to throw in, it might come into play here, would be Marquise Pouncey, the center from the Gators. This is about probably the earliest point where it starts to make sense for him, 16, 17, 18. Most folks think he would be a guy in the 20s. I had some conversations, Brian, you guys probably get calls as I do from radio stations around the country wanting to talk about what the Jaguars might do, and somebody asked me if they were to trade back, who might they get, and I thought Pouncey was a guy who they might have taken a look at later on in the draft.
The premier center in the draft, for sure.
Yeah, and even though Iupati, they think, can play some center, Pouncey can also play some guard, but he's primarily was a center last year for the Gators, so that might be a guy who could fall in there. The other guy of the big name who's out there still is Dez Bryant. And, well, what a wild card he is, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State, where he could potentially fall based on all the off-the-field questions that people have about him.
Well, don't forget now, Kyle Wilson, the cornerback from Boise, is a guy that was rising as we got to draft night here. So that's another player that could find his name off the board relatively quickly.
Let me just throw a little number out here. Jack had mentioned that Tyson Alualu, 15 sacks in his college career. The high that he had was his senior year, he had 7.5. 15 sacks in a college career, and Derek Morgan, okay, polished defensive end, 19.5.
Right, and Alualu played inside as much as he played outside. Yeah,
and played different positions going through different defenses. So that number, when I looked at the draft pick Derek Morgan, they had that stat up, 19.5 sacks. And I'm going, wait a minute. I thought he's supposed to be the most polished, ready-to-go defensive end in the draft right now.
And I'm not going to pass myself off as a scout, but you can do what anybody can do. Go on YouTube, just type in a guy's name, and the highlights will come up. The highlights for Derek Morgan were not nearly as impressive as you would think for a guy who was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year and so forth. So I'll be interested to see how Derek Morgan does, and again, we'll have a chance to watch him twice a year. Now he's a Titan.
All right, let's grab a break.
We continue with our live coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft until 10 o'clock Eastern Time right here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
Welcome back to the 2010 NFL Draft on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV.
Steelers with pick number 18.
Okay, to announce the Pittsburgh Steelers selection, here's my friend from the Make-A-Wish Foundation and a great Steelers fan from Florence, Kentucky, Zachary Hatfield.
What a trip for Zachary.
With the 18th pick in the 2010 draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Marquise Pouncey, center from Florida.
There you go. There's Pouncey off the board, the premier center in this year's draft and the second Gator.
Really good player.
Yeah, very, very good player. Can play guard or center, and they desperately need help on the offensive line. And here is GM Gene Smith, in just a moment, on Marquise Pouncey. One half of the Pouncey combination that has been so effective down in Gainesville. No, don't have him? Okay. We do not have this at this point. So we will just move right along.
By the way, this was
the Falcons are on the clock.
I'm sorry, Brian. This was the guy that everybody in Pittsburgh thought they were targeting. I mentioned I had a conversation with Mike Pursuta earlier today. He said that was the guy, and who, if they stayed where they were, that would be who the Steelers would go after. And of course, now we're seeing the second Gator to come off the board here in the first round.
You know what I like about what you just said? First of all, you said it, and having you back on the air is wonderful. Calling
thank you, I appreciate
that. But you know, you
and all that.
If you look at one of the historically one of the best drafting teams in the National Football League, you'd have to say Pittsburgh Steelers.
Sure.
And they do that. They target their guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and who are we seeing now kind of take that approach?
And the other thing that I saw, Jeff, is that when we asked Tyson Alualu what other teams were looking at him, he said teams like Philadelphia and New England, mm-hmm. who have been the best, two of the best drafting teams over the past decade.
That's
Philadelphia
it.
And New England. So if nothing else, you know, you're in good company there.
Just a comment, I meant to say this earlier, the Philadelphia Eagles drafted Brandon Graham, who head coach said right here in this room on the radio here, is that Brandon Graham is probably the best pass rusher in the draft. Not a very big guy.
Mm-hmm.
They've already got another defensive end who's not a big guy. They're going to have the Mighty Mites
rushing
on the edges there in Philadelphia.
Not unlike Indianapolis, right, with Freeney
exactly
and Mathis.
Right.
You know, small guys who can get up the field and make a difference. I really wonder if that's sort of going to be the trend, Jeff, because you talk about how much more this has become a quarterback-driven league, a passing game league than ever before, and will it, you know, make a make more sense for teams because there are more of those tweener, light pass rush types than there are the 280-pound pass rush types. We may see more of that in the National Football League as things go along.
Well, Mike Smith on the clock right now.
Smitty!
He could use some help on the defensive
go
side of the
ball. Go get him, Smitty. Mike Smith and their general manager, Tom
Dimitrioff.
Dimitrioff, good guy. Actually met him. I stopped in and saw Smitty, I guess it was last year, and got a chance to sit down and talk with Thomas Dimitrioff. He likes to be called Thomas. Very nice guy. Health nut. So
now what you've got is you've got a team that would like some defensive help, and they've got the pick of a lot of good players.
Dan Williams is still there. Tennessee defensive tackle, Kyle Wilson.
Sean Witherspoon.
Anywhere
they want to go on the defensive side of the ball right now is available to them.
With the 19th pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Sean Witherspoon, linebacker, Missouri.
Really good football player and a guy that will help in the middle. They have not had that presence since, some would say Jesse Tuggle and following Jesse. Keith Brooking,
and by the way,
Dallas Cowboys,
not a really big linebacker to play inside. Of course, Mike Peterson followed Mike Smith up there. Similar type of guy who could play, you know, weak side linebacker, middle linebacker as well, and really had a terrific a Senior Bowl week. They were he got a lot of attention during the Senior Bowl week coming out of Missouri.
So, just looking at some guys who have slid down the board here. If you've been following us. The highest guy on our board, Brian Bulaga, the offensive tackle from Iowa, who most folks thought was a top 10 pick for sure, maybe even a top 5.
still out there. Jimmy Clausen, the quarterback from Notre Dame. Big Dan Williams, the defensive tackle from Tennessee. Wide receiver Dez Bryant from Oklahoma State. Though his fall is not unfounded. Most folks thought that he was a guy whose off-the-field antics were going to cause him some problems. Kyle Wilson, the corner from Boise. And then now you start guys start fitting where they belong. You got Sergio Kindle from Texas and Jermaine Gresham. The Houston Texans, a division rival, are on the clock right now.
Well, if teams ever needed a reminder to not draft Dez Bryant highly, they got it yesterday when the commissioner basically said, hey, look, Ben Roethlisberger is suspended for six games. And he was never charged with a crime. And Dez Bryant, as far as I know, he's not a criminal.
Right.
But he's certainly got a very questionable background.
Well, the biggest issue with Bryant as it relates to his NCAA eligibility was his relationship with Deion Sanders and then lying about it because he wasn't sure what that relationship was going to be.
Well, his mom's got a drug history.
Right.
Comes from a broken home. I mean, there's a lot of things.
But there are a lot of guys. There are a lot of guys who I don't think you necessarily say if a guy's got a parent, you know, had bad parents, he's going to be a bad kid. But this is what caused him all the problems last year where he missed almost the entire season for Oklahoma State. I mean, here's the, you know, we were talking about Michael Crabtree last year and the
reports
injuries.
Reports about him, you know, being late and missing team things, you
yeah.
know, so the list is very long.
Right. And I don't think any of those things that we talked about are nearly, you know, as potentially bad as what Roethlisberger's been accused, although not charged with. But you're right. I think the impact of Roger Goodell making this move before the draft rather than after, a lot of people questioned it, saying, why would you ruin draft week and the schedule week by coming out with this now? Well, I think it's just the opposite. I mean, it sends a message about how the commissioner is going to handle these off-the-field instances.
I think by him doing it yesterday was perfect. It gave the NFL great coverage, schedule release on Tuesday. It got the Ben Roethlisberger saga over with. Mm-hmm. And so then all of the focus becomes the draft.
Let's go back to the Jaguars for just a moment. Would you, if you're GM Gene Smith, would you hold on to John Henderson? Or at what point would you be willing to part ways with John Henderson? What would it take?
Depends on what I could get for him.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that, to me, that's the big question.
Well, they were happy with a fifth-round pick for Quentin Groves.
Yeah,
and John Henderson is clearly a better player than Quentin Groves.
Oh, John's a, you know, has been a Pro Bowl player, you know, so I would have to think.
But what he's been doesn't won't matter to anybody else.
And maybe a four would do it. Mm-hmm. Not both, you know, a three or a four.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
certainly a two, right?
No. I mean, you're not going to get.
But
a two.
I don't think they'll get that four.
Not going to get a two.
No.
You know.
Jump over and do backflips for that.
Yeah, now, but I don't think you're in a position, Brian, where you have to move.
Well, that's
John
that's
Henderson,
going, right?
Yeah, I think. I mean. If the worst thing you have is that you have an established veteran defensive tackle, a rising second-year defensive tackle who had a terrific rookie year, and a prospect who you're absolutely in love with is the 10th pick of the draft at defensive tackle, if the worst thing you have is that you can't figure out how to get all three defensive tackles on the field at the same time, well, what a problem to have.
Well, you would like to trade them. I mean, because, hey, look. John hasn't been exactly the leader of the program.
I understand what you're saying.
You just have to go back to last spring and summer.
You know, and production-wise, he hasn't been where he was. I mean, you got a top-10 defensive tackle now. You know, and obviously Terrence Knighton is going to be a guy that's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to trade him? Yes. Do you have to trade them? No.
Well, that's the point, that they're not in a must-sell situation here with John Henderson.
No, you don't have to, but you would like to.
I do think you can get some value out of them.
Hey, look.
And if you can get a third-round pick, that was Knighton and Cox last year.
If you can get a third-round pick, we know what Gene can turn a third-round pick into, and that's a starter.
That's right.
You know, we can't expect it every year.
Here's the commissioner with the Texans pick at number 20.
With the 20th pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Kareem Jackson, defensive back, Alabama.
Well, that just makes sense. They lost Dante Robinson, who was their premier defensive back. He is left in free agency to go to the Atlanta Falcons. And so Kareem Jackson, a member of that national championship squad in Alabama, is a Houston Texan tonight. And that brings Cincinnati up onto the clock at number 21. Again, we will go
until 10 o'clock Eastern time with our coverage. And by the way, it's going. We'll get most of the first round in. We thought right about now we'd have the Jaguars selection in and be getting through the interviews, but this draft has just been flying along.
Going to be interesting. Kareem Jackson, to me, a junior and really rose late. Most folks thought he would be a late first, maybe early second. Played on that great defense at Alabama, as you said, but he's not a huge guy. I mean, he's 5'10 and a half. That's not big for a corner, certainly. And now again, that's a guy who at Houston is going to have to cover the likes of the Titans, Jaguars, and Colts receivers now twice a year each.
Well, his hardest coverage is going to come in practice.
Yeah.
Andre Johnson. Yeah, no doubt about that.
All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead and get a break out of the way. We have two more that we need to take. When we come back, we'll turn our attention back to the Tim Tebow watch, because if he's going to go in the first round, it's likely to go to one or two or three teams here that have yet to pick. Our coverage continues right after this on WOKV. Depend on it.
In the 2010 NFL Draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Jermaine Gresham, tight end, Oklahoma.
There's another Oklahoma Sooner off the board, and it takes us to the New England Patriots at number 22 in the first round. Jaguars select Tyson Alualu, which is clearly a name worth knowing.
And you're going to get to know him, too.
Absolutely.
We had him on earlier in the show, and again, if you don't know anything about Tyson Alualu, you're not alone, but from Cal, played a little bit of everything on the defensive line. Married with two children, and high character, highly competitive, according to Gene Smith, and a great teammate. And Jack Del Rio said he has the things we're looking for, talking about his makeup.
The Jaguars did not, right out of the gate, tell us the teams that were targeting Alualu, right? Alualu.
Alualu.
I've got to get that right. Alualu. Alualu. All right, we'll get that right over the next couple of months.
Think Hawaiian.
I can easily think Hawaiian. I can think Maui, though. I'm not thinking about Honolulu, which is where he's from. I guess Mel Kiper has said that they reached on him, though Mike Mayock said he was one of his favorite players in the draft and rising. You know, you can start talking about some of the teams that that would be interested in a guy like this, and he told us, Philadelphia, New England. I wouldn't be surprised at all if San Diego was one of those teams, because they have to replace some guys on that squad, too.
Yeah, I just think this is a pick that would have created an uproar last year. I think this is a pick based on what Gene Smith and his group did last year that people are going to go, all right, well, we have to see. We'll wait and see about this guy. But it is going to be – I mean, listen, if the Jaguars' success under Jack Del Rio was predicated around Henderson and Stroud in the middle of that defensive line in the early years, they have their next batch of Henderson and Stroud now with Knighton and Alualu. And we'll see how what kind of development those guys have. But I will say this, you're talking about Gene Smith's draft philosophy. He likes to get big guys early, and that's exactly what he did with the Jaguars' number 10 pick.
Broncos have swung yet another trade. They have the 22nd pick now from New England. And at least according to the chart that I have right now, they also have the pick at 24 with Philadelphia, and the Broncos were a team that had expressed a great deal of interest in Tim Tebow. So we'll see. This is about where he would fit, where he would come off the board if he was going to in the first round with a team like Denver that expressed a whole lot of interest in having him as a part of their program. But what we're seeing right now on the NFL Network screen is Demaryius Thomas, the explosive receiver from Georgia Tech.
So you're saying the Broncos have two picks coming up?
Well, and then
the way I see Broncos have the next pick, and then the Patriots have 24.
Right, yeah. So the Patriots, okay, that has not been updated on the sheet that I've got here. So we will wait and see. Remember now, they traded away Brandon Marshall. And if Demaryius Thomas is their pick, he's clearly the replacement for a guy that I thought was the best. Boy, I thought he was the best receiver in the game when I watched him the last couple of
years. You know the guy that I loved watching? Golden Tate.
Yeah.
I'd take Golden Tate ahead of Dez Bryant all day long.
No question about don't have those same kind of off the field issues and baggage, and highly productive.
Highly,
a little bit smaller, You know, not quite as big as Dez Bryant, a couple inches shorter, 3 inches shorter, I think. And
Dez Bryant wouldn't be on my draft board.
Yeah, well, and
not going to take a guy.
There's a lot of teams that
a lot of teams don't have him on the draft board, and there was a report that the Jaguars are taking him off the draft board,
as they should.
Yeah, I mean, again, if character is still an issue, and Wayne Weaver said that is the case, then you wouldn't be surprised that he was off the draft board. But again, here with Denver, you know. We start to talk about Tim Tebow and where Tebow might fit. Denver's a team that expressed some interest in Tebow.
Well, and you have to think, because New England, both his agent and his father said that they expected him to go in the top 15, mm-hmm. and they knew which team that he was headed to, and you had the Broncos maneuvering their way back to a spot that fit him a little bit better, although there are a lot of people that don't think any place in the first round fits Tim's skill set currently.
Mel Kiper's not a big Tim Tebow fan.
Well, here's the selection with Roger Goodell. We'll see if this is a pick of Tim Tebow by the Broncos.
New England has traded the 22nd pick to Denver. And with the 22nd pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Demaryius Thomas, wide receiver, Georgia Tech.
And this is a guy that a lot of people really like. Big guy, 6'3", 220. Not quite as big as Calvin Johnson, who left Georgia Tech and was the top pick by the Detroit Lions a few years ago, but still a tremendous talent.
And a guy, but that was the comparison because of the school that he attended, that he was the next guy. 8 touchdowns last year, caught passes for over 1,100 yards in a running offense. I mean, that is a full-bore running offense for Georgia Tech. They run the ball, all kinds of different things, and again, here's a guy who was a first-team all-conference pick as a wide receiver despite all that, so he really stood out. I watched Georgia Tech play 2 games last year, their bowl game and also the game against Georgia, and, you know, you could tell he has the physical tools. He's a, you know, big, strong wide receiver, kind of in that Calvin Johnson, not quite as big and strong as Calvin, but still a big, strong receiver. And you know, he jumps out at you when he's on the field, because they don't throw the ball that much, and when they do, it usually goes to him.
All right, let's talk about the teams that are left, and let's just bore right in on who might be a Tim Tebow team. The Packers, you wouldn't think so, not with Aaron Rodgers. And you know, let's keep in mind now, Tim Tebow is still on the board, but so too is Jimmy Clausen, who most people believe is a top-flight NFL prospect. So you've got the Packers, you wouldn't think so. The Patriots, you would not think so.
Well, I don't know. I think the Patriots might be a team that would take him.
But they have three picks in the second round.
Not because they need – well, but where they – you know, if they think somebody else could pick him.
Maybe.
Urban Meyer and Bill Belichick have a very good relationship, and
– but remember, that's a team in New England that needs help on the defensive side in a big way.
But again, they have those three second-round picks, so maybe they start – well,
you don't know where it's going.
Guys. Right.
Right.
At some point, whether it's here or somewhere else, I think New England is in play for Tebow.
Ravens, no. Cardinals, no. Cowboys, no. Dolphins, no.
It's not happening
Jets,
in
no.
the first round.
Vikings could be.
Saints, no. So if it's not coming New England or
Minnesota?
Well, there's reports out of Minnesota that they're not taking a quarterback.
It's not
in
happening
the first
in the first round.
Well, and the other place, I'll throw this out there. What about Indianapolis?
What about them?
Well, they clearly do not need a quarterback right now. They have some needs. They're not a perfect team, but they played the Super Bowl last year. If the Colts were to draft Tim Tebow, it would certainly give him a chance to study behind Peyton Manning, have some time to develop. I believe, Jeff, as I think you do, that Tim Tebow right now doesn't look like he's a guy who can play quarterback in the NFL. It doesn't mean he can't develop into that, because he does have the physical, you know, size that you like out of a guy. He's got the athletic ability, and he certainly has the work ethic to work on that.
I was just glad you didn't go to, well, you know, they could run some wildcat with him.
Oh, no, well, no, not with that
You're
offense.
You're going to take Peyton no. Manning off of the field and put Tim Tebow
not
on
Not with
there.
That offense, no. But my point is, where better to study under, you know.
Cole, I'm glad you didn't say that.
Listen,
but look at who else is on the board, all right? There's a quarterback from Indianapolis, mm-hmm. or not from Indianapolis, from Indiana, who is out there in Jimmy Clausen. They are always in need of a big defensive tackle, and Dan Williams is on the mm-hmm. board. They could use help on the offensive line.
That's a long way down, of course, we'll get to Indianapolis.
You got Charlie Johnson, who is a starting offensive tackle for them, but you could go with Brian Bulaga.
Bulaga
is
who you need. I mean, wouldn't he just fit perfectly in Wisconsin? I mean, doesn't he look like a Wisconsin dairy farmer?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's an upper Midwestern looking guy.
Remember last year how Aaron Rodgers just got hammered? The offensive line was in shambles. Bulaga's a fit.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers had a terrific year last year despite all that, you know, feeling the pressure there. I think Green Bay is a team to watch out for, by the way, this next year. I think they're a team that could make a Super Bowl run if they had a couple of pieces fall into place for them. Obviously, they need to find a way to improve their pass rush. They lost Aaron Kampman. That would be an area that they may want to improve on. The one pass rusher who might fall in there would be Sergio Kindle from Texas.
Because he's an outside linebacker.
And they play the 3-4 now.
Absolutely.
Yep.
They made that switch. Although, you know, Dan Williams is a tough body to pass up.
They got the guy from
BC. Yep, but
recently.
You know, but Dan Williams could probably play an end in that defense. We'll wait and see.
No, I mean, Kyle Wilson at Boise is the other guy who we had heard was being was rising quite a bit over the last couple of weeks.
Charles Woodson is still a very, very good player.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll wait and see.
But you've got to face, we think, Brett Favre in that division twice a year, maybe three times a year if you get him in the postseason. Plenty of passing to be had. You know, you don't fear Chicago or Detroit with the passing game so much, but there are some guys who they may need to go after.
Here's the commissioner with the Packers selection at number 23.
With the 23rd pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Brian Bulaga, offensive tackle, Iowa.
Just tremendous value for them to get this big, strong guy that can play in a number of different
sets. Well, he does look like a guy. He already looks like he's a guy from Green Bay.
He is a throwback all the way. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up our coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. All right, so back to wrap up our coverage. About 3.5 minutes left before we'll hand it over to Fox News and back to regular programming on News Talk Radio, WOKV. If you're just joining us, the Jaguars at number 10 took Tyson Alualu, defensive tackle from Cal. Gene Smith said he was the guy they had targeted. They thought he was an elite player, and he's going to get the chance to improve a defensive line that late last year was porous, to say the least.
Yep.
Pair him with Terrence Knighton inside, you've got a tackle tandem to build around.
And Jack Del Rio said he expects him to come in. You draft guy number 10, you expect him to be a starter right away. So there's your new tackle tandem.
Patriots are on the clock.
Well, from what Gene had said about him, because obviously we don't know a whole lot about this guy, is that the one thing you will get is you're going to get a great motor guy. And when you get compared to Mike McCrary and Aaron Kampman, as far as motor goes, I mean, you're talking about Mike McCrary may be the greatest motor in the history of the game.
When you ask Buscelli about the guys that he faced, who is the most difficult?
He's number one.
Yep, and he faced Bruce Smith. You know, so you're talking, and Reggie
and
White, too.
Jason Taylor, and yeah.
He faced some of the very best. And he says right out of the gate. So there are some big names that are still available out there. Jimmy Clausen, Dez Bryant, Dan Williams, Kyle Wilson, guys whose names were expected to have been called by this point. The Patriots are up on the clock. And, guys, this is just, to me, this is the last landing spot in the first round for Tim Tebow. And I don't think this is it. Now, maybe in the second round for Tim with the New England Patriots, the Patriots have traded.
Well, I don't know, Brian. Jerry Jones could pick him at 27.
Well, here's Jerry Jones. They've made a pick.
Looks like the Cowboys have traded up with New England, and again, boy, New England, boy, are they good at adding picks? Boy,
they have to
respect New England the way they handle the draft. I mean, it's almost an art, a piece of art, the way they're able to manipulate and get those draft picks, those extra draft picks.
So where are they going here at this point? It's anyone's guess, but Dez Bryant is still on the board, you know.
And Jimmy Clausen. Jerry doesn't put character way up high on the list.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Clausen's here, too. That would be interesting. I mean,
it's not going to be Tim Tebow, though, based on the comments that Jerry Jones made in a nightclub. What was it? About a week, 10 days ago, and it was grabbed for them. So we're not going
to
make it.
Jerry likes to sip a few.
Well, they're focusing on Dez Bryant, and we're out of time here. Unless they get this pick in about the next minute, it looks like that it is Dez Bryant. The Cowboys have moved up to grab Dez Bryant with the 24th pick in the first round here, because the folks in DeSoto, Texas, which is Bryant's hometown, are celebrating mightily about Dez being a Dallas Cowboy, and it certainly appears to be that.
By the way, six of the first 24 players played their college ball in the state of Oklahoma. How about them? That's a good draft for the Okies.
Yeah, a good draft for the Big 12 as well. So looks like the Dallas Cowboys have made their selection, and we're going to sign off. Thanks for joining us this evening, ladies and gentlemen, for live coverage of the 2010 NFL Draft. Tyson Alualu.
You've been listening to the 2010 NFL Draft on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio, WOKV.
WOKV.
Be sure to join us every Wednesday night at 6 for Jaguars This Week.